You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
American Journal. I am not Harrison Smith. I am Brianna Morello. We're excited that you guys are here joining us. It has been a crazy first week, especially because we, you know, well, me, I just started hosting this program, so I'm very excited that you guys are here and joining us. And it's great to hear from all of you at home. We've been getting some great feedback, and we appreciate it when you do reach out. So feel free to do that as well on X. At Brianna Morello. Give me a follow. Tell me what you guys think of the show, what you guys think we should put on the show. I'd love to hear from you, but there's a lot happening on today's show specifically. We're watching three major press conferences that are going to be taking place in just a few moments. The first one, I think, is a very important one, and we'll be dropping in and out of it. RFK Jr. and Dr. Oz are going to be talking about new reforms that are being made to the organ harvesting, we call it over here, organ harvesting procedures. Now, ultimately, what it is there's been tons of failures related to organ donations, and the system is absolutely failing. There have been many reports, studies that have found that individuals who are having their organs harvested are actually not dead when it's happening. And we're waiting to see what those exact reforms are going to be. There are several reports out there, but we'll wait till we hear it from RFK's mouth directly. So definitely stay put for that, because we'll be following it, as well as the CDC Committee on Immunization Practices is holding a hearing today. That's going to be interesting, given what we saw yesterday with the former CDC director testifying about how RFK Jr. was trying to change childhood vaccines. And that's something that she was not a supporter of. So we're going to wait and see how that unravels, as well as in D.C., Washington officials are going to be testifying today in front of the Oversight Committee of Reforms. Now, ultimately, what they're doing there, folks, is they're going to be talking about crime. Now, as you and I both know, President Trump has sent in the National Guard into D.C., and crime has drastically dropped. And even Democrats can't deny what's been happening. We're expected to hear from Mayor Bowser as well. She is going to be speaking during this hearing. So, again, three major things we're following live today, so you're not going to want to go anywhere. Now, there's also other things we're going to be following on today's show. I'll be joined in just a few moments by Congressman Troy Nehls from the great state of Texas. He's joining us to discuss the J6 Select Committee. He is now going to be on that committee, and I've got a lot of questions in regards to transparency, because we were promised it before. We haven't quite seen that yet, so I look forward to speaking with him on that front. And we also got a lot going on, considering the fact that Jimmy Kimmel was just canned. Yes, it's actually interesting, because, you know, you guys, we don't support cancel culture, but these people cheerleaded it when conservatives were being canceled. And so, yeah, you bet your butt we're all a little excited over here, because they had no problem jumping on board and cheerleading for people like Tucker Carlson, Roseanne, everyone who was canceled. But now that it's happening to them, well, according to reports, Jimmy Kimmel is infuriated. Hate to see it happen. You hate to see it happen, especially when you do something as insensitive as crack jokes on a assassination. So good on ABC giving him the axe. But there's a lot going on, like I mentioned. We're also going to be discussing that hearing yesterday with the former CDC director, because, folks, RFK Jr., they canned her. And she showed up yesterday to testify in front of the Senate with a group of Trump-hating attorneys. So I guess they had the right idea by canning her. She was only the CDC director for a couple of months. We'll dive into that, because there's a lot to go through to dissect there. So don't go anywhere. We've got a jam-packed program for you happening today. I'm excited that you guys are here. Plus, also, Nick Sorter joining the show as well. He is going to be at the Turning Point headquarters. I got a lot of questions for him over there. So don't go anywhere. We've got a lot to unpack in just a few moments.
Thank you. I took down those goblins single-handedly, but I couldn't have done it without the help of Ultimate Burn. Order yours now.
Fight the globalists and unlock maximum cognitive power with MK Ultra, an advanced neuroboost formula.
Unpack. Like I mentioned, RFK Jr. is expected to speak momentarily in regards to the organ harvesting going on all across the country. There's been many, many missteps in regards to those who are looking to donate their organs at hospitals. And, well, we've seen the reports regarding individuals who are still alive when their organs were being harvested. So there's a bunch of reforms that are going to be made. HHS is on that one. We're going to take that live once he starts to speak, because I think that's really, really important that we jump in on that. But let's give you some oversight to a lot of the stories we've been talking about lately in regards to violence coming from the left, because we're not shying away from that topic or backing down anytime soon. That topic is critical. The left is breeding terrorists, and it's because of their rhetoric that they spew constantly. They had no problem calling out those on the right whenever they viewed our words as violence, but they're literally telling their people, they're nut jobs, so they got a lot of them, to go out there and attack conservatives. And now that they're being called out on it, they're all playing dumb. Well, thankfully, the Trump administration has now started to launch investigations into a lot of these radicalized left-leaning groups. Folks, there's a group in Utah, and I saw the headlines earlier in the week, but it looks like the New York Post is now confirming this. This one group called Armed Queers SLC, they are a pro-gun LGBTQ group based in Utah. The FBI is investigating, this is according to the New York Post, whether there was a possible connection between this group and the suspect who's been arrested for Charlie Kirk's assassination, Tyler Robinson. Now, the group's founder is very, very interesting because according to the New York Post, this is an Iranian transgender biological man who has extreme ties to communism. Now, again, the New York Post did a whole report on this, and they dig into this guy's Instagram account where he refers to himself as a woman now. Also is touting a revolution, trans liberation in our lifetime in their Instagram description. Now, folks, I know firsthand that these groups are radicalized, that these groups are going out there and targeting conservatives. I've been on the receiving end of a lot of the harassment that they push out there. They're well organized. They have no problem going after people. But now we're entering this new sphere of, were they the ones who provoked Robinson to go after Charlie Kirk? Now, we don't know yet. Let's be very clear about that. That's the reason why we have an investigation, according to the New York Post, happening right now. But the Trump administration has told you that they are going to go out there and start investigating these groups. Now, just a few days ago, I was going through one of these groups and I was finding their members and going through their social media posts. And it's absolutely horrifying what they post online. And they're just so open about it. They're communists. They're not even hiding it. This one individual was celebrating the potential of capturing Laura Loomer, then releasing her in his own words. And then hunting her down. Now, obviously, I flagged that post for several individuals who needed to see that, because that is a threat. But folks, they're not even hiding from us. Everything is in front of your face. You just have to look for it. The Armed Queers SLC, which is Salt Lake City, obviously deleted its online presence after Charlie Kirk's assassination, according to New York Post. Law enforcement downloaded all open source data on the group and provided it to the FBI. Again, its founder was endorsed by no other than Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren loved her. Him, her, whatever you want to call it. Sure, that's going to get them really angry. Then you go on, you look at the roots of this group and this individual. It has ties to socialism, of course. Actually, one of their largest donors, according to New York Post, the founder's largest donors to one of her socialist groups, is a communist millionaire who has strong ties to the CCP. Why do we even allow this in the first place? Free speech is one thing. Communism is a whole nother thing that we need to address. Now, again, according to End Wokeness on X, the founder of this radicalized group was saying that if you want reforms, if you want liberation, if you want all these changes, you have to get violent sometimes. It's not just my words. This is literally what they said during an interview. Take a listen.
Some people say that it takes a violent protest to get people to listen. Do you agree or should they remain peaceful?
I agree. I absolutely agree. You know, I'm a member of the LGBTQ community, and our liberation and our rights came after the Stonewall riots. That's something that a lot of people don't like to talk about, is that, you know, the LGBTQ movement started with Stonewall riots. I wouldn't even be able to be a student at this school if it wasn't for a violent riot that took place within a span of 3 days. So I absolutely agree that sometimes violent protests and really riots and those kinds of loud rebellions must take place for tangible change.
They're not even hiding it from you. They're okay with violence. They encourage violence. That's pretty deplorable. It's pretty deplorable. You know, you'll never find a conservative saying that. You'll never find it. Although the last administration decided to declare us as domestic terrorists, which I believe InfoWars was an OG in that. I believe they were designated as a domestic terrorist organization back in, 2013? But the reality of it is, folks, this is what they do. They had no problem these last 4 years vilifying those on the right when all of the actual domestic terrorists were on the left. Take a look at this. This is the report I was just talking about. Back in 2013, they actually might still be designated as a terrorist organization. You wouldn't even know that. This was thanks to a great FOIA request. Folks, they've been doing this for quite some time. And one would think too, right, 2013... InfoWars was designated as a terrorist group or terrorist organization, which allows them access to obtain whatever records they want from you. You would think by now, if it was real, people would be in handcuffs over here. It wasn't real. Never was real. It's what they did to go after you. You know, I was talking to a couple of my friends who were actually targeted by the FBI, lawyers, great people, great patriots, and their bank records were subpoenaed. Guess why? They said it's because the federal government wants to see how much financial backing they have to put up a fight for lawfare. That's the reason why they go after you and they try to get your records. They try to hit you with these ridiculous designations. They want to see if you could fight it. If you could fight it, you have to pick their battle wisely. If you can't fight it, they know it's an easy win for them. You know, under the Biden regime, we constantly heard that white supremacy was the greatest threat to this great nation. There's a rise in white supremacy. I heard it all the time. So I reached out to DHS about that and I asked them for their statistics. You got the president of the United States spewing that, Nancy Pelosi, every other high profile Democrat, mainstream media outlet telling you that those on the right are the enemy. Look at this demonic, demonic man. When you ask for the facts, guess what? They didn't have any. In fact, DHS responded to me by giving me a list of events that they just deemed as white supremacy events. There was no numbers. There was no data. They had nothing to support that argument. And yet they continue to push it. Not a single person in the media called it out. This is why I can't get press credentials. So I'll call it out. Sir, you just said that white supremacy is the greatest threat to our country. Do you have data that backs that? The answer was always no, but nobody had the cojones to ask. That's the difference. But now we're sitting here and we're under a real threat. This isn't a fake threat. This isn't an artificial threat. They've refused to gather the statistics on those who are committing crimes in this country that have left-leaning political beliefs. I keep saying leaning, but they are far left. And for so long, we have sat here, we've just allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do to us. Yeah, we talk on it about X and all the other platforms, but there are very few Republicans looking to get into this fight. It's been egregious, it's been disgusting, but it's been going on for quite some time now. Now it's starting to change. We're starting to see a new leadership. But folks, it's long overdue. The left is just full of hate. That's the difference, right? Because there's not a single person I know on the right who would cheer if they saw any liberal get killed on television. Anyone who's assassinated for their political beliefs, we would never cheer for that. The left loves it, though. Why do they love it? Because they're full of hate and rage. That's what motivates them, not the facts. The facts make them frustrated, make them angry. Find me one liberal city where there's a bunch of happy people running around. They're all miserable. They live in a cesspool. And they want the rest of us to live in that cesspool and be as miserable as them, be medicated just like them. They don't like the fact that you're happy, the fact that you're living your life. It's been absolutely disgusting to sit back and watch as those continue to cheer for Charlie Kirk's assassination. I'm sitting back and I'm watching this, and I've had enough. I know others have had enough of this, including the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance. We're going to go to clip two on this one because he went nuclear when it comes to those on the left who are cheerleading for what just recently happened to Charlie Kirk, his assassination. Take a listen.
People are celebrating Charlie's killing.
It's disgusting.
They're saying he deserved to die. How do you wrap your head around that?
I would ask you, if you were the kind of person who feels joy at the death of a grieving mother and grieving children, what bad decisions have led you to where you are today? And why don't you get back on the right path?
If these evil people don't repent and continue to revel in the murder, what should be the consequence?
Look, we have a First Amendment in this country. The First Amendment protects a lot of very ugly speech. But if you celebrate Charlie Kirk's death, you should not be protected from being fired for being a disgusting person.
Yeah, the First Amendment doesn't apply to potentially being fired. No, it doesn't. Your employers are allowed to do whatever they want. So listen up. When those sit there, I saw it. Okay, so I've never supported cancel culture before. But now they've done it to us for years. I mean, I remember I posted a video back in 2020 of my lack of support for the BLM movement. In fact, telling people, get that Marxist garbage out of my timeline. I don't want to see it. What happened? Well, my family was targeted. Individuals in my family had several people reaching out to them. People didn't realize who my employer was, but they're not really intelligent on the left. But they tried reaching out to my employer. The time was Fox. Obviously, Fox was siding with me at the time. So they tried to get me fired for simply posting that video. So now that we're sitting back and we're watching this all unravel, I gotta say, I have no problem sitting there and having people get fired for those who are specifically nurses and doctors celebrating the death of a man. Does it make you feel safer knowing that your nurse is celebrating the death of a man who was literally just speaking? The assassination. There's a lot of ethical questions to call into play when something like that happens. And, I have no problem with us going now and making sure that they're fired from their jobs. Because no one's safe when a doctor is excited about the death of a man who's murdered for speaking. We're not a safer country with those people in positions like that. And it's strange because it's like, how do you not take a moment to step back and go, that man was just assassinated for speaking? Your speech could be offensive, and guess what? It's still protected. As long as you're not threatening the lives of others, your speech is protected. Charlie Kirk has never said anything that threatened the lives of others. In fact, for all of those liberal hacks who go on the mainstream media every day and sit there and call him all these nasty names, they can't seem to dig up a soundbite of Charlie saying the things that they say he said. No one calls them out on that nonsense. And the worst part about all of this is Charlie Kirk was the peacemaker. Charlie Kirk was the one person who welcomed discussion, who went into their arenas and actually wanted to have a chat with them. I don't want to talk to these people. I think most of them are deranged. But Charlie strongly believed in having an open-ended discussion on all of this and would tell everyone all the time that if you stop communicating with those you disagree with, violence happens. Well, violence did happen, and he was trying to talk to them, and he was trying to give them the microphone. Not a single person could sit there and pull up a clip of Charlie Kirk sound like a Nazi, sound like a fascist. These people are so dumb that they just believe anything they're told. You know, if the shooter, the alleged shooter's text messages are authentic, he says that he had enough of Charlie because he was a hateful person. I've never seen a clip of Charlie being a hateful person. In fact, I think there was one debate where this one individual came up to him and was either transitioning or had previously transitioned to a different gender and was asking for his advice. And I remember hearing Charlie say, God made you perfect. He made no mistakes. And that was his answer. If you deem that as hate speech, then you're the problem, not him. Barack Obama just seems to be very dismissive, being the fact that he was the divisive president. He was the one who really just kind of went right through there and intentionally put targets on the backs of conservatives, both within, you know, his own agencies and by gaslighting them. Well, he spoke, and it's a bit of a long clip, but it's he's a slow speaker. But it's important to listen to his words because he's being very selective with the words that he uses in regards to Charlie Kirk's assassination. Let's take a listen to clip three.
Are we at an inflection point in our country? Where are we today?
Well, we are certainly at an inflection point, not just around political violence, but there are a host of larger trends that we, you know, have to be concerned about. I think it is important for us at the outset to acknowledge that political violence is not new. It has happened at certain periods in our history. But it is something that it is anathema to what it means to be a democratic country. And regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, what happened to Charlie Kirk was horrific and a tragedy. What happened, as you mentioned, to the state legislators in Minnesota, that is horrific. It is a tragedy. And there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Think that it's happening on both sides. But it's not. The bullets are only coming from one side. See, they continue to lie to you, they continue to mislead you, and they continue to conflate two different issues. Folks, and even when those two lawmakers were shot at, we were horrified. We didn't celebrate. And yet we still don't know what the motive is in that shooting, by the way, that he's referring to, because the individual who was killed, sadly, was somebody who was against keeping illegal aliens on health care. Sure, that was just accidental. But again, this is what's going on all around the country. The left has become so unhinged. And it's all a part of the plan. Barack Obama is a part of the plan. He always has been. Speaking of the plan, you know, President Trump yesterday, he should have done a bigger victory lap because DHS announced yesterday that under the last 250 days that they've deported over 2 million illegal aliens from this country. That's a big number, folks. 2 million illegal aliens were deported. And it's been very difficult to do because those on the far left don't want him cleaning up our country. We're getting rid of all of the horrible illegal aliens who snuck in, and they don't like it. In fact, there's one lawmaker who decided to go after and try to attack, you're never going to believe this, try to attack ICE officers who were just agents, who were just trying to do their jobs. Take a look at this. I believe this is a suburb outside of Chicago. She's a state senator, Karina Villa. She went viral after she went down a suburban street screaming, "Don't open your doors. There's no warrant. There's men in masks running around West Chicago." Well, she did all of this while one of her staffers was apparently screaming profanities at the agents who were just doing their jobs. We have the clip. Let's take a listen to clip 4.
Come on.
This is my city. This is my city. That's right. Take off your mask.
Pussies.
Take off your mask.
Pussies. And bitches.
What?
What?
Stay inside of your houses, everyone. Do not come out. Stay in your houses. Quédense en su casa. Tienen derechos todos. No salgan si no hay una orden firmada por un juez.
Folks, these people are so deranged. That's worth noting. I have reached out to DHS for comment on this because I want to know if she's going to be charged with interfering, because that's interference. They have not yet responded, but it could happen at any point during the show today. So we'll just wait back and see. But folks, again, these people are so unhinged. These streets don't belong to you, lady. These streets belong to the American people. You are just an elected official. Unhinged, going after these agents, trying to expose them. Of course they're wearing masks. You people are the violent ones. You people are the ones who are going to dox them, go after their families and try to destroy their lives. They have every right to wear a mask. Now all of a sudden you don't like masks? How convenient. How convenient, these people. It's just so absurd. They were forcing us all to sit there and suffocate ourselves with face masks. Now all of a sudden they don't like them. So unhinged, so outrageous. Folks, we have Congressman Troy Nehls joining us in just a few moments. The hypocrisy is off the charts. He was actually a mix of both unfortunate and fortunate enough to sit through the FBI director's hearing yesterday in front of the Judiciary Committee. And a lot unraveled there that we're going to dissect. Plus, he's also being named as an individual who's going to be on the J6 Select Committee. And I've got a lot of questions about that because we have a lot of unanswered questions. But a lot to dive into. Do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Agent Jones leaps from the sky, martini in hand. Danger closing in fast. Dodging bullets and charming every woman in sight, he discovers the prize, a briefcase full of stolen war bonds. Not from the Queen, from the alexjonesstore.com. Every bond fuels the mission. Every purchase keeps the fight alive. Support the show, because in this world, the only license that matters is to resist.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento, and when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation in such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 War Bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout, and it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the War Bond to hang on the wall a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones War Bonds right now. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams. thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globals are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light Is Fire with its beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So.
Amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Patel's hearing in front of the House Judiciary Committee, and it was a little rough because Democrats, well, there was only one thing on their mind, that was Jeffrey Epstein, which is quite strange, because for the last, 4 years, when the Biden regime was controlling the White House, they didn't seem to utter that name, but all of a sudden now it is the main focus of their attention. Now, Director Patel did a great job at handling these animals, we'll say that at least. And he did a great job of going off on Congressman Jamie Raskin, who decided to try to grill Patel on the Epstein document releases. Take a listen.
And oh, by the way, Jeffrey Epstein was out for 12 years, and the Obama and Biden administration did nothing to look at his work, his pedophile network. If you want to blame me, that's fine. But now you're blaming the men and women who conducted this.
Stop that. Search. I'm not blaming anybody other than you. You're not keeping your word. You said that you would release all of the materials.
Has
under
anyone
your direct
released
control?
More information on Epstein than I have? Has anyone?
Much more.
Did Comey? Did Ray?
Much
did
more.
They?
Much more has come out in the days since the American people and Congress have been demanding it, but it's coming out in dribs and drabs. Why don't you just release the entire file as you promised to do?
I literally just told you. There are multiple federal court orders. I'm not going to break the law to satisfy your curiosity.
All of a sudden, now Congress is interested in getting their hands on the files. Isn't that something? Joining us to discuss is the great congressman from the beautiful state of Texas, Mr. Congressman Troy Nehls joins the program. Congressman, thank you for being here. We're very excited to have you. Yesterday, you had to sit through all of that. I know the director did a great job at trying to push back on all of these Democrats who are trying to spin the narrative when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. Obviously, we all want the Epstein files to be released, but that was a commitment that President Trump laid out. Now Democrats are jumping on board because not everything can be released. Your reaction to the very particular words that they were using when going after the director on this topic?
Yeah, they attacked, well, it's good to be with you. They attacked the director, I said, unjustly. You saw it the day prior to with the Senate, with some of the same old clowns over in the Senate, just attacking, attacking, attacking. And I told Director Cash Patel, I said, the reason they're attacking you is because you're very, very effective. For the first time in a very, very long time, we actually have an FBI director that wants to keep the American people safe. He puts the American people first, and they demonstrated that with going in and sending the National Guard in every place to, whether it's going to be Memphis, up in D.C., we've seen a significant decrease in violent crime. So everything is working, and the Democrats are very frustrated. But we have a very articulate, common-sense approach, director of the FBI would tell, because we didn't have it before with Comer and them. I mean, or Comey. They weren't. And he's released. Cash has said, with Raskin and some of these other nut jobs we have on the left on judiciary, he said, I've released over 33,000 pages, 33,000 documents. What do you mean we're not participating or being forthwith with the Epstein case? It's stupidity.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had all these years to demand it. Now all of a sudden they're demanding it. And it's a part of the cover up. And that's why, you know, I truly believe at this point that any of the evidence that might have been incriminating to their allies, their donors, has probably been deleted at this point, erased, because I can't imagine why all of a sudden now they feel inspired enough to ask for these documents. And it's just frustrating to see them use sexual assault victims as their political props at this point, because they didn't ask all these questions when there was individuals coming together and trying to hear their voices, get their voices heard, I'm referring to, about Joe Biden and others who came forward and laid out allegations against them. They ignored it. And so it's just very interesting to see how they do this now. But, you know, you mentioned Patel and how he's sitting here outlining what the FBI has been doing. Well, it's funny because the FBI hasn't been doing this one thing, and that's targeting Americans. They stopped doing that under his leadership, and he outlined it yesterday in front of your committee. Take a listen.
Director, yes or no, is the FBI still spying on parents at school board meetings?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still targeting Catholics?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still spying on President Trump?
I don't believe so.
Is the FBI still censoring Americans?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still targeting Americans for shopping at Cabela's or purchasing Bibles?
Nobody is targeted for their faith.
Is the FBI still targeting Americans who are pro-life?
Nobody is targeting anyone for their beliefs.
Is the FBI still cooking the books on crime data?
The crime data is real.
Is the FBI still purging agents for conservative viewpoints?
No one at the FBI has asked their viewpoints on policy.
Is the FBI still labeling the Betsy Ross flag, the flag of the American Revolution, a hate symbol?
No.
Well, maybe that's why you've been able to, what was the number, 23,000 bad guys you've arrested, a huge increase from the same time period in the previous administration. I think you said 1,400 predators, 4,000 children rescued. Were those the facts?
4,700, 35% increase on children rescued.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing a great job at that at least, but they seem to look the other way on that front. So far, though, things are going well for the FBI, although we'll never find out exactly who they fired because it's personal information that they can't disclose legally. We are hearing that there are some great changes happening within the agency. What have you seen so far that you actually think is a great job that they've been focused on?
Well, I think what you just saw there with Chairman Jordan laying everything out, the FBI is getting back into the business of actually investigating crime, investigating criminal organizations. We should be out there looking at Trendyagua and all these other terrorist organizations that have entered our country illegally that are now preying on the American people. So that's the FBI's job. The FBI's job is to go out there and protect the American people. They have many, 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 many agents out there, but these agents were doing everything but investigating crime. They were investigating the Republican Party. They were investigating people that had a dissenting point of view than what we saw with the previous administration. And so they were working for Joe Biden and the deep state. But that's all come to a halt, a quick screeching halt. And Director Patel laid it out there with the number of arrests. The left is so upset too. And they don't like Kash Patel. It's quite clear. They have hatred towards Kash Patel because Kash Patel was the one that spearheaded the Russia investigation. And it was all nothing but a hoax. So he's not high. He's not going to get any Christmas cards from any of the members on the left because they despise him for what he did. He's very articulate. He's very intelligent and he's very effective. And he is so effective that the American people are supporting what the FBI is doing and what the administration is doing with trying to combat the criminal element that have taken over. They've taken over our large cities across the country. And so when we go into Memphis, you're going to see many, many more arrests like you saw in D.C. And the people in those communities, the people that may not have a voice every day, they love what's taking place. They said, we have a president and an administration that puts us, the American people, and our safety first. Yeah. I applaud them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a campaign promise that President Trump has carried out on. And that is really important. What he's done in D.C. has been absolutely incredible to sit back and watch. Congressman, you have just recently been selected to serve on the subcommittee for J6. Now, there was a lot of questions that have been left unanswered in regards to J6. I know that your office, you are very excited of releasing a statement after this came out detailing what you're looking forward to the most. But we've got a lot of unanswered questions here. What are some of your questions that you look forward to digging into?
Well, you know, when January 6th took place, obviously I had a conversation with some of the rioters at the main doors leading into the House floor. I wrote a book on this. Matter of fact, I wrote a book on it that talks a little bit about January 6th. I know a little bit about it. Leader McCarthy asked me and Jim Jordan and a few others to be on that original select committee. Nancy Pelosi rejected us. The first time in the history of Congress, a speaker rejected a minority leader's picks to be on a select committee. But you didn't see that with Mike Johnson now. So we've got 5 Republicans. We've got 3 Democrats, Eric Swalwell, Jasmine Crockett. Yes, could we have played the same old games like Nancy Pelosi did? But no, Speaker Johnson said, okay, I accept your picks, Hakeem Jeffries, I accept them. So now we're going to have some several hearings. I can't tell you when the first one's going to take place, but we're going to look to getting into the truth on January 6th. Because Benny Thompson, Liz Cheney, Crying Adam, and all of them, it wasn't about exposing truth on January 6th. The January 6th sham committee under Benny Thompson and Nancy Pelosi was about to destroy Donald Trump, blame him for January 6th because they wanted to destroy Donald Trump's career. They wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to run for president in 2024 because they're definitely afraid of him. Now, that didn't work out very well, did it? It didn't work out very well for the Democrat Party, and Donald Trump is in the White House. So I and the other committee members are out about exposing the truth. Why was the Capitol so ill-prepared to deal with that day? Why? The intelligence was there. Oh, my gosh, the intelligence assessments that were conducted. You would have said, we need the National Guard here on January 4th already. The National Guard showed up too late. So I think it's important to let the American people hear some truth as to why January 6th took place, what were the problems with January 6th, the deficiencies, and it has nothing to do with Donald Trump inviting these individuals into the building to overthrow the government. It's so far from the truth, but that was the narrative from the left, and it's just not true, and we're going to expose it.
Yeah, and they tried to use President Trump's words against him, and that's what they were trying to throw him in prison for originally, by saying he incited it with just words, which is strange now, because now they believe that words really don't have meaning when it comes to, sadly, the Charlie Kirk assassination. They're all downplaying their roles in all of this, even though they've spewed rhetoric over the last few years that have demonized people like Charlie. Before you go, Congressman, I wanted to just kind of reflect on Charlie Kirk. I noticed that in front of your office, you guys posted this photo. It's an image of Charlie, and you guys are paying your respects and remembering him. But this was a massive loss for our movement. This was somebody who brought in younger voters, younger individuals who probably wouldn't have been involved in politics at all. And he was sadly assassinated for using his words and wanting to have open discussion. Your thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, Charlie Kirk is not with us today because he, again, you want to talk about a very effective communicator, an individual that can use his mind and reach out to young people on these college campuses. And that's where quite honestly, he focused a lot on college campuses, this with academia and allowing young people to just have open dialogue and debate the issues in our country. And sadly, he was so effective, they killed him for it. He died as a result. Charlie Kirk, if you look at Charlie Kirk and you look at the numerous videos, Charlie Kirk, his faith was so important to him, his faith and his family, a beautiful wife, beautiful children. And he was a very true follower and loyal to his belief system in Jesus Christ. And I respect that so much. I said, what an honorable man. We should have more people, young people, be just like him. Be like him, because the country would be a better place as a result. I said Charlie Kirk was so, if he'd have lived 2,000 years ago in the biblical times, Charlie Kirk would have been the 13th disciple. He was just an honorable man, but I believe his legacy will carry. I believe he was so effective. I think the left has lost their way here, and people are amped up. They're very upset that they took this man's life because of his intellect and his effective communication and his effectiveness. I think that's going to continue on for years and years to come, and it's going to backfire on the left. It will. I think it's going to help us in the midterms, no question.
Yeah, yeah. This video breaks my heart of Charlie with his daughter. It's just devastating, yeah. Completely devastating. And the fact that those on the left are cheerleading for this is pretty disgusting in itself. Congressman, I want to thank you for all that you keep doing, and thank you for being an incredible fighter in this fight. We look forward to seeing you on the J6 Select Committee, and we look forward to seeing what comes from that. So thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Folks, that's Congressman Troy Nehls. He's always a pleasure to speak with, one of the very few who will shoot straight with you. And so it's an honor to have him on the program today. All right. We were very busy yesterday, but yesterday there was another committee hearing going on that was very important for all of us to pay attention to. It's in regards to the CDC. CDC. Well, you may recall there was a former CDC director who was just recently canned from her job. Suzanne Monores. Sorry about that. So ultimately, she was someone who was the acting CDC director back in January. And then from July to August, she was the CDC director. She made it past her confirmation, but she was canned, according to reports, because she didn't support RFK Jr.'s mission in regards to childhood vaccines. She gave a lot of pushback. So yesterday, she did speak out yesterday in front of the Senate Health Committee. And it was quite strange because it was weird because number one, we'll try this first. Number one, the former CDC director came with an arsenal of attorneys who were anti-Trump lawyers. That's the first thing. We'll detail that one. They even just tried to ask her who her lawyers' names were. She didn't want to go on the record. Now, she also says that RFK told her she needed to be on board with the childhood vaccine schedule. Take a listen to clip 5.
Did he ever communicate he was going to change the childhood vaccination schedule?
Not until that very day. In that morning meeting, he said that the childhood vaccine schedule would be changing starting in September, and I needed to be on board with it.
Did he ever suggest that the president was, that he was speaking for the president?
In that morning meeting, he did say that he had spoken to the president. He spoke to the president every day about changing the childhood vaccine schedule.
That's what happened. And folks, when she's talking about the childhood vaccine schedule, understand this. We're talking about hepatitis B vaccines being given to babies just a couple of hours old. Again, there's no real need for that. We know that. I mean, even the director of the FDA, Dr. Marty McCarry, came out and said there's no reason for us to be giving hepatitis B vaccines to babies. Why are we doing this? But she was trying to stand in the way. And you know what happens when you stand in the way? You get trampled on. Because the American people didn't vote for her takes. The American people want a federal agency like the CDC to either be abolished or to regain its trust, to try to regain its trust. Now take a look at this photo because this is very interesting. I saw this on X and I couldn't believe it. But they outline two of the key Trump-hating lawyers who were behind her during this. Now, interesting enough, these two individuals, Mark Zaid especially, they were all individuals who were involved in the Trump impeachment, going after Trump. And for some reason, they're passing her notes during her hearing. Why would you need lawyers to do that? And why wouldn't you be willing to go on the record? Well, interesting enough, that's something that Senator Ashley Moody from the great state of Florida wanted to talk to her about, wanted to clarify. But she was really, really not willing to give up her lawyer's name for the record. Take a listen.
I'm really shocked that we have behind you anti-Trump lawyers that you've invited. Do you want to introduce your lawyers that you brought with you today? I'm just noticing that they're aiding with your testimony. They keep handing you notes and whispering in your ears. So I figured you should probably, for the record, put their names in the record.
My lawyers have been publicly associated with me already.
So you're refusing to acknowledge the attorneys that are present in this hearing room helping you with your testimony?
The attorneys that I have been...
I mean, I've been in the legal world for a long time, and attorneys generally aren't shy about stating appearances and saying when they're here helping clients. So are you, is there some reason you don't want to introduce the senators to the lawyers that are here and put their names on the record?
Yeah, I think,
they're passing you notes.
I think my counsel is happy to follow up with you.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would like the record to reflect that you have called a hearing of two people who have hired anti-Trump lawyers.
Yeah, maybe they were right for firing her. Look at that smirk on her face. She's trying to play stupid, though. She wants you to think that she doesn't know who these lawyers are. You don't sit there and go after these two lawyers, hire them when you don't know who they are. This woman had a vendetta against the Trump administration for doing their job, for making sure that the CDC was going to be following actual science and not big pharmaceutical company money. Well, Senator Jim Banks didn't let up on the issue. He had a lot of questions for her, and they just kept cornering her on the idea that she thought it was okay to bring Trump-hating lawyers into this hearing and then not go on the record with them. Take a listen to clip 7.
Of the thousands of lawyers that you could hire to help you through this process, why Mark Saad?
You know, the moments, the hours after I had been terminated, I was concerned in a number of different facets associated with my termination. One of the things that I wanted to make sure I did was have clarity of understanding of what had transpired and what would I...
You don't seem naive at all. You have to know that Mark Saad is a leading opponent of President Trump, notorious for his online activity that is very anti-Trump. He was heavily involved in President Trump's first impeachment. Why did you hire a guy like that, of all the thousands of attorneys? And furthermore, he advised his clients to leave the country after President Trump won the 2024 election. Why would you hire a guy like that?
So I actually was not aware of any of those details associated with Mark.
Right.
Oh, she was unaware. Well, later on during the hearing, Senator Mullins called her out for being a liar. And she didn't really like that. She felt very uncomfortable. But the reality of it is obviously they got it right by firing her, but how did she make it there? She literally only had her job for what, maybe a little over a month? The smirk on her face tells you everything you need to know. Firing her was a great decision, because folks, we've had enough of the CDC. RFK Jr. has done a great job at laying it out. If you go to their website, I don't even know if it's still there anymore, but it was at one point. If you went to the CDC website, some of their greatest accomplishments that they bragged about, medical-wise, were number one was abortion. I mean, RFK Jr. has told you that this is one of the agencies that needs to be completely purged because it's so, so compromised. They also brag about the mRNA vaccines. And I hate that we have to say vaccines, because they're not actually providing you with immunity. It's interesting, because this is another point, too. Those who I talk to all the time who have had multiple vaccines, COVID vaccines, boosters, they keep getting sick and they want to know why. Not me. You know why? Because I didn't take the jab. But then again, folks, we continue to talk about how these vaccines need to be called into question. We actually need people who are not taking big pharmaceutical money to come forward and to give us the honest takes on all of this. And Senator Rand Paul went on to grilling the former CDC director because, again, he's not okay with giving babies hepatitis B vaccines when they're freaking babies. It doesn't even make any sense, but he outlines it perfectly in clip 9.
This is the debate over changing the childhood schedule. The hepatitis B vaccine on the schedule is given to newborns. What is the medical, scientific reason and proof for giving a newborn a hepatitis B vaccine if the mom is Hep B negative?
I want to go back to the assertion associated.
What is the medical reason for giving a hepatitis B vaccine to a newborn? See, everybody's like blithely going along. We can't change the childhood. You're somehow terrible if you want to change the childhood. We should be discussing what is the childhood vaccine schedule, and you should be, the burden should be on you. You want to make all the kids take this? The burden is upon you and the people you wouldn't fire to prove to us that we need to give our 6-month-old a COVID vaccine and that we need to give our 1-day-old a hepatitis B vaccine. That's what the debate ought to be about, not whether all vaccines are good or whether we live in Alice in Wonderland.
I actually agree with you. And I was open to the science. I just would not pre-commit to approving all the ACIP recommendations without the science.
Untrue.
Untrue. Gosh, that smirk makes you want to smack her across the face. It's obnoxious. It's intentional, though. She thinks that she'd get away with this. But now she's out of a job. I'm sure some pharmaceutical company is going to scoop it right up. That's usually how these things work. Thank God for RFK Jr., man. He is taking on the fight that is worth fighting, purging people like this out when they decide that their loyalty is not to the American people. Although she's telling you that she's looking forward to looking at the science, she doesn't care for the science. Nobody actually cares. They all sit there and they create this illusion like they care. They're hoping you buy into it. We don't buy into it, though. The mission is to make America healthy again, and we look forward to just that. Now, we're still waiting for RFK Jr. to begin speaking in regards to that because, folks, he's looking to correct the issues in regards to organ donations in this country. As many of you guys know, organ harvesting is a big topic that nobody wants to seem to talk about. We have a major issue throughout this country. RFK Jr. taking on the biggest of fights. We'll be taking that press conference in just a few moments, but a lot in the second hour of American Journal, so do not go anywhere. I've got a lot to sound off about in just a few moments.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento, and when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation at such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 War Bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout. And it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the war bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones war bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams, thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globals are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light is Fire with its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air, and I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.
Thank you for jumping in with us today. A lot going on. It was a pleasure to have Congressman Troy Nehls join us in the first hour, but we're still not done. We've got a lot of great content coming your way today, a lot of great stories that the mainstream media is always too afraid to tell you about, but you know, I'm unafraid to talk about it, so we will do just that in a few moments. But first, folks, we are waiting for RFK Jr. to begin discussing the reforms he intends on making to our organ donations here throughout the country. As many of you guys know, there have been several studies throughout the country in regards to how we handle our organ donation systems. And unfortunately, the organ harvesting in this country is a real, real problem. There's been several studies done that people who are on, who are organ donors, well, when they're put on life support, there's been instances where they actually aren't even dead when we start harvesting their organs. And that is horrific. That is absolutely horrific. So RFK Jr. taking on that fight, looking to make sure that we're not being inhumane on that front, also making sure that these reforms are going to save lives, but also be respectful of those who have decided to donate their organs. And it's very profitable for the hospitals. It's very, very profitable for the hospitals. So a lot to go there with. We'll bring that to you in just a few moments. He's expected to speak at any moment now. We'll also, in the second hour, be taking your calls. We'll be doing that. It's going to be a little bit more of a fast-paced one, because I know yesterday we said we were taking calls. We ran out of time, but we are going to do it again today. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. You guys are going to have your time to tell me what you're thinking about, what's on your mind. Do you disagree with me on something? Let's talk about it. Give us a call. We'll be doing that in the second half of this hour. First half of the hour, though, is going to be about Jimmy Kimmel being canceled. Normally we wouldn't back those types of things. We don't partake in cancel culture. But when those who were participants and also cheerleaders for the cancel movement, when they get canceled, you've just got to sit back and enjoy the show. No, we don't want to encourage it. But Jimmy Kimmel has been a scumbag for quite some time, and it's quite strange because I don't know how this was the final straw that got him canceled. I've put together some incredible information about how many other times he probably should have been canceled if we really were all playing by the same set of rules. But I guess we're not. He was a spokesperson for the left, loved to be a mouthpiece, loved to go out there every night to go after President Trump. But you know who's still employed? President Trump is. So we look forward to diving into that. A lot happening today. Also, I don't know if you guys saw, but in the third hour, we're going to be having two great guests coming on. Hunter Gaylor is going to be joining the show. He is an international money manager, and he's got a lot of financial advice for us. He was watching yesterday as the Fed decided to finally cut the rates. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to ask him in the third hour of the show. Plus, Nick Sorter is going to be joining the program. He is in Arizona right now at the headquarters for Turning Point USA. And we've got a lot to talk about because there's a lot going on right now over there. Thousands and thousands of children, college-age students, are looking to launch Turning Point chapters at their schools. Thousands. I think the last number I saw was north of like 50,000. That is absolutely incredible that these young people are looking to get involved in the fight. Do you think the left realized that? Do you think Charlie Kirk's assassin realized when they were going to put a bullet through him that it was in fact going to inspire a wave of conservatives all around the country? I don't think they did. I think they thought Americans would be intimidated, would be forced into a corner, silence, conservatives specifically. Christian conservatives specifically, since those are usually the ones that are targeted the most throughout this country. Well, guess what? They're not backing down. But a lot to discuss in the second hour. Don't go anywhere. I've got a sound off on Jimmy Kimmel in just a few moments, so stay with us.
Long ago, far in the past. past lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive by the power of mental drive. No man nor beast stood a chance through the battles.
We're excited that you guys are here with us today. All right, we're going to be dipping in to the RFK Jr. press conference when that begins, because that's an important one, folks. It's all about organ harvesting, and we need to be discussing this because, again, this is a major, major issue throughout the country. Hospitals are profiting off of organ donors, and there's been some reports that they are harvesting the organs of individuals who are actually alive. And so RFK Jr. being brave to take on that battle, the one of many battles he is taking on. So once he makes his way to the podium, I'll jump right over there so we can listen in on that. But folks, let's take a moment to celebrate. Actually, first, let me remind you all, we're taking calls in the second half of this hour. 877-789-2539. It's going to be the speed round of today's show. I want to hear your thoughts. Do you disagree with something I said today? Do you like something I said today? You think I need to talk about something else today? Give us a call. We'll be doing quick rounds because I know yesterday we had so many people calling in and I wanted to get to all of you, I promise. But we were up against another hearing and so we were very, very limited. So we'll do our best to get to as many callers today and tomorrow as well. So give us a ring. I want to talk to you. But let's talk about something that I think is really, really interesting. Let's talk about cancel culture, because it's interesting because cancel culture was something that the left loved to use. They loved to come after us and come for, InfoWars knows better than anyone. They loved to come for conservatives, Christian conservatives, and target them. Well, now the tables have since turned. And sadly, due to Charlie Kirk's assassination, we're finally getting people to go after those on the left who spew violence and legitimately spew hatred. Right? We hate the word hate speech. I don't think people should be canceled. But when the people who sat there and cheerleaded for cancel culture are actually canceled themselves, I'm not going to object to it. You need to realize that things that you've supported over the years were toxic, that they've contributed to this toxic environment in politics, and there needs to be accountability. Well, Jimmy Kimmel's learned the very hard way. And according to reports, he's not very happy after ABC decided to cancel him. Now, this comes after two other, they're kind of like local news carrying platforms. They carry a lot of these local stations, decided to can his show. Nexstar and Sinclair. So once that happened, Jimmy Kimmel went bye-bye. And according to reports, he was very, very angry about it. Very, very angry about it. Now, if you're wondering why he got canned, he decided to blame the Charlie Kirk assassination on MAGA. And then crack a couple of jokes about it. Nothing's funny about an assassination. And he's learning that the hard way. So now Kimmel is livid, according to reports. And the mainstream media is trying to pretend like it was an effort by the Trump administration to silence another outspoken voice, an opponent. But the reality is that's not the case. That's not the case. And interesting enough, FCC Director Brandon Carr spoke out on the issue yesterday. Let's take a listen to clip 12.
Late night shows, something's gone seriously awry there. They went from going for applause, from laugh lines to applause lines. They went from being court jesters that would make fun of everybody in power to being court clerics and enforcing a very narrow political ideology. And Nexstar, as you noted, stood up and said, look, we have the license and we don't want to run this anymore. We don't think it serves the interests of our community. Sinclair did the same thing. So there's more work to go, but I'm very glad to see that America's broadcasters are standing up to serve the interests of their community. We don't just have this progressive foie gras coming out from New York and Hollywood.
That is 100% factually true. We are excited that they cannot sit there and dictate the narrative anymore. Why is it that when you turn on something that's supposed to make you laugh, bring the family together, you're dealing with a liberal Hollywood elite who wants to lecture you about your politics? They have no idea what your life is like. They don't share our same beliefs. And yet they want you to listen to whatever they have to say. It's the reason why their ratings have been in the can. And President Trump has been speaking out about that. And it's been quite interesting. Brian Stelter over at CNN, I can't believe he got his job back, but he is over there and he's freaking out because he thinks that this is an infringement and this is going to make America less of a free place. Now, folks, it looks like RFK Jr. is coming out to the podium, so I'm going to hold here because we definitely want to dip into this press conference right here. I'm going to ask my control room when they start to speak because I don't want to interrupt the clip, but it looks like he's making his way up to the stage, and there he is. Let's listen in.
Every American should feel safe becoming an organ donor and giving the gift of life. Yet decades of ignored patient safety concerns have driven more and more Americans off the donor list. Today, under President Trump's leadership, we are taking bold action and historic action to restore trust in the organ procurement process. For the first time in history, HHS will decertify an organ procurement organization mid-cycle. I make this announcement in consultation with Deputy Secretary Jim O'Neill, Administrator Oz, Administrator Engels, and leading experts across the department. We are acting because of years of documented patient safety data failures and repeated violations of federal requirements. And we intend this decision to serve as a clear warning. The Life Alliance Organ Recovery Agency, based in Miami, Florida, has a long record of deficiencies directly tied to patient harm. Staffing shortfalls alone may have caused, it was a 65% staffing shortage consistently across the years, and it may have caused as many as 8 missed organ recoveries each week, roughly 1 life lost each day. Unlike the Biden administration, which ignored these problems and failed to act, the Trump administration is setting a new standard of patient safety comes first. Today's announcement leaves no doubt. When OPOs operate properly, they save lives. When they operate improperly, they are going to face decertification. I have a nephew, Michael Hines, who had a lifetime cerebral palsy. He died at the age of 20 in May. And we were able to donate his organs. His cornea gave 2 people the gift of sight. His kidneys went to separate people and saved lives. His heart went to a 9-year-old boy. And his liver went to a mother, of a 40-year-old mother of a child with a disability. And she wrote us a moving letter talking about how frightened she was that she would not be able to survive and take care of her disabled son. She did not know that Michael was also disabled. This was not only a gift of life to 7 people in sight, the 7 people, but it was a gift for our family as well, because it infused with meaning and purpose the lives, the life of Michael. He was able in his own death to save the lives of all these people. And one of the things that I would urge Americans to think about today is this takes a lot of pre-planning. We were in a regional hospital that did not have an organ procurement program. And we would have never known about this if we had not made arrangements beforehand. So it's something all of us need to think about. It's an extraordinary gift that will give meaning to our lives And, you know, it also reminds us that no matter how different we are on the outside, no matter what our political beliefs are, our ideologies, that we're all the same inside, and that we can give the gift of life to each other. Along with decertification, we are reforming the Organ Procurement and Transplantation Network, the OPTN, thanks to the leadership of Administrator Engels, who you'll meet in a minute. We also are investing in new ways to encourage organ donation, and Deputy Secretary O'Neill will share more of these initiatives. I want to thank Chairman Jason Smith and Congressman John Joyce for joining us today. Could you both stand? And they have... It was their leadership that alerted us and their hard work that alerted us to this calamity happening in South Florida and other states as well. And their persistence that led us to take this action today. And I also want to thank Chairman Brett Guthrie and Chairman Chuck Grassley, who have also made this a subject of preoccupation of great importance. And the continued efforts of the Energy and Commerce Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, the Senate Finance Committee, and the Senate Help Committee. Our goal is clear. Every American must trust the nation's organ procurement system. We will not stop until that goal is met. I now turn this over to Dr. Oz to discuss the collaborative effort in greater detail.
Thank you. Come stay for one second. I want to emphasize something that is vital, because we talk about the gift of life with organ transplantation. It's actually the gift of love. And the things you're going to hear about today, and the reality that these were allowed to unfold and continue in ways that were unimaginable when I took this position, is shocking. And it would not have been addressed without the fortitude, the strength, I think the medical term is cojones, of the secretary, who is undaunted in his desire to make a difference in saving lives of Americans. President Trump has been 100% supportive of these aggressive actions. As we walk you through this historic day, again, the first time ever in history, there's been a mid-cycle decertification of an organ procurement organization, and it will be the first time when it's finished that it will have been completed successfully, we believe, as well, for good reason. But it doesn't happen without strong leadership at the top that gives you air power. So God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So the secretary, I don't think he realized it when he did this, but when he started putting in place leadership at different agencies, happened to pick two people with experience in transplantation. So I'm going to go first and speak a bit about what CMS has to do and a little bit about my story in transplantation. Marty McCurry is going to follow me. Both of us have, I believe, a similar experience. When I was a young surgeon training, finishing my training, I remember being called on organ procurement runs. And these are always in the middle of the night, because that's when you get the OR at the donor hospital, because it's busy during the day. And I remember flying all over the country, in particular one snowy night to Buffalo, where it always seemed to be snowy when we went there. And I witnessed firsthand the love, the passion, weirdly almost the joy that is involved when you're saving a life, even though you're risking your own. And I say risking because these snowy flights, you know, these pilots were not probably signing up for this, but they were going to do whatever it took, even when it was a difficult terrain. When we land there, the ambulance companies, the nurses that were taking care of the deceased individual, their families who had been approached in the middle of their deep grief had been brave enough to make a difficult choice to donate the organs of their loved ones, knowing that there was a greater good that might come from this horrible experience that had taken place in the loss of a person that was so dear to them. Throughout this process, I gained a lot of insight into what actually goes into the organ transplant process, but you don't really feel it at the same level until you're actually doing the transplants, which is what I did as a heart transplant surgeon, and talk to the recipients, people who are barely holding on, trying to avoid falling into the abyss, the darkness of death, knowing that someone's going to have to, in a moment of grief, donate the most precious things we have in the temple of our souls, our organs, to allow them to live to fight another day. I remember in particular a case that many of you probably had heard of when in the middle of the 1996 World Series, the manager of the Yankees, Joe Torre's brother, Frank Torre, who was on our transplant list at Columbia, had an organ become available just before the final game of the World Series, and the organ became available poetically in the Bronx, where the Yankees play. And I did the transplant that evening, and by dawn, we knew that he would survive. And that man, Frank Torre, became an extremely close friend like many of my patients, lived for over 20 years, relatively uneventfully, with that kind donated organ from a young man in the Bronx. Those are the stories that get me and Marty and others so passionately engaged in making sure transplantation works well. That's why we are so deeply committed to fixing the pathology that has infected this process. So let me give you a bit about the scale of these issues and then walk you through what we're going to do. And again, it's an historic day. Some of these numbers I'm hoping will become important enough that you'll remember them and share them with people that care about this issue. We've got 100,000 people awaiting organs right now today in America. While I'm speaking, another person will be added to that list. During this press conference, someone waiting for an organ is going to die. These are big numbers, and it's every single day without notice, which that's why we don't want to lose organs because of paperwork issues or incompetence or inefficiencies in the systems that were the nonprofit entities that were given the license to procure these organs. 28,000 organs go unmatched and therefore discarded every year. People, loving people, gave their organs or their loved ones' organs to the system, and we don't use them. 28,000 theoretically lives were lost, and there's huge financial cost as well, as you'll hear about later on, when we don't use these organs, because the second base solution, like dialysis, isn't nearly as good, but incredibly expensive. Every missed donation is an opportunity that is we've lost to save a life. And that's why we have decided to take this action. And please see the federal oversight that's coming down the pike, and it's harsh, as tough love, because it's needed to restore trust in the organ transplant system. We're going to crack down on noncompliance with Medicare requirements. That's what CMS is going to offer to this equation. In part, we have the ability to address the suffering that's occurred because of systemic failures that have progressed and lasted far too long. We're going to start enforcing the appropriately rigorous standards and modernize the system with stronger data oversight, innovative tools that are going to make organ procurement easier, more seamless, more effortless, and more effective for all America, especially Americans who are waiting transplantation. So we're taking unique action today that has never been completed before. We're going to terminate the Medicare Participation Agreement for an Organ Procurement Organization, a so-called OPO. This action follows documented quality concerns that have lasted for a decade. You may be asking yourself, what has taken so long? That's what the leadership of Secretary Kennedy and President Trump offers us. The minimum conditions of participation and coverage for Medicare are not being fulfilled, so we have felt it appropriate to recommend that the Life Alliance Organ Recovery Agency, which serves 6 counties in southern Florida, lose its certification. And that action is going to be taken today within CMS. 10 years of noncompliance was tolerated. This organ procurement and transplantation network that Tom Engels will speak about, entity, has been talking about this for at least that long. They had made requirements in old days, you know, years ago to decertify this entity. It was never acted on. That group was replaced. And Administrator Engels is going to walk you through what the new group has also said, which is to decertify, which you are acting on. The underperformance as assessed by CMS, my organization, has confirmed this. We've lost organs for paperwork reasons. The wrong labeling has sent the wrong organ to the wrong place, all kinds of issues. And in as late as August, there was a process that we would hear more thoughts back, and IHRSA was still unswayed. OPTN, this entity that governs the entire organization, still felt that the program was lacking. For that reason, we are decertifying them today, in part because there's inadequate training, inadequate effort to address the massive understaffing. They only are staffed probably at 2/3 where they should be. We want to ensure that every single American awaiting transplantation has a fair chance and begins to trust the system. Congress has thoughtfully and aggressively pursued some horrifying stories that have chilled some Americans' enthusiasm for donating organs. We are here today to tell you the system is safe. It's rigorously being addressed. There's more actions that will probably be coming. We're going to be tougher than ever before, because if we lose trust in the organ transplantation system of this country, tens of thousands of people are going to die yearly whose lives could be saved. And only by taking this tough action are we going to be able to get the solutions we desire. We are sending a tough message to all the other nonprofit organ procurement agencies, organizations, so they know we're serious. We want them to know there's a new sheriff in town, and we're coming for them if they don't take care of the American people. Now, the passion that you probably hear in my voice is shared because I spend countless nights transplanting hearts into people and lungs into people who otherwise would die. My close friend and colleague and the director of the FDA has also been involved in organ transplantation at Johns Hopkins, and I'd love to ask him to come up and share some of his passion for this area as well as we take you through the specific actions that are taking place today. Marty.
Making his way to the podium. He is leading the FDA right now. Actually, he is a great patriot. I know him personally. He's one of the very few individuals who reached out to me and thanked me for standing up for medical freedom when I was having my internal fight with Fox News about the vaccine mandate that they were looking to push onto us in the New York City office. So again, that man, I really do love the fact that he's running the FDA now. I have a lot of trust in him. And so that is good to see. But let's talk about the organ harvesting point to all of this, because RFK Jr. was calling it out just a few weeks ago. He was on Newsmax calling it out, ultimately putting out a tweet saying hospitals began organ harvesting while patients still showed signs of life. Now, folks, it's obviously horrifying, but there's a reason why this was all happening in the first place. All you have to do is head on over to America First Legal, because they were doing incredible work on the topic. And they still are doing incredible work on this topic. America First Legal coming out and saying that they are digging into organ harvesting throughout our country, because there's a lot of incentives, financial incentives, for these hospitals to increase their organ harvesting numbers. Now, obviously, organ donations are a beautiful thing when you can give someone life. But folks, these hospitals have been incentivized to go after people who are looking to donate their organs. And you don't know. Especially when you have the head of the HHS coming out and saying that they're harvesting the organs of people that are alive still. You don't know if the financial incentives involved in all of this have really incentivized it. And then there was a DEI angle to all of this, and America First Legal is digging into all of it. They are doing an incredible job. I'll continue to follow this story because this is a major one. They continue to send over FOIA requests asking about these questions, because under the Biden regime, DEI was top priority for organ donations. As if that even makes any sense. It doesn't. It doesn't, but no surprise there. All right, we're going to head into the third section of all of this in just a few moments. I'm very excited, too, because we've got a lot to talk about with you guys on the line. You guys are calling, got a lot of questions. We're digging in, so don't go anywhere. Taking live calls next.
When you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball, the Lady Gaga, the Justin Bieber, who gives you these carbon tax messages, they tell your kids they got to love Justin Bieber, and then Bieber says, hand in your guns, pass the Cybersecurity Act, and, the police state's good, and then your children are turned into mindless vassals who now they look up to some twit instead of looking up to Thomas Jefferson or looking up to Nikola Tesla or looking up to Magellan. I mean, kids, he circumnavigated with one ship the entire planet. He was killed by wild natives before they got back to Portugal. And when they got back, there was only like 11 people alive of the 200 and something crew, and the entire ship was rotting down to the waterline. That's destiny. That's will. That's
driving. That's being a trailblazer, an explorer, going into space, mathematics, quantum mechanics, the secrets of the universe. It's all there. Life is fiery with its beauty, its incredible detail.
Today is the one-year anniversary of the AlexJonesRoy.com. Took 6 months to set it up, but we are launching Life is Fiery with its Beauty. That's a saying I said many years ago. One-year anniversary fundraiser sale. And we are doing really good in court. Big victories. You're going to see a bunch of stuff in the news very, very soon. I'll just leave it at that, involving the DOJ and what they've done to us. I'll stop right there. In celebration of the AlexJonesRoy.com officially becoming open for business for a year, we are launching the Life is Fiery with its Beauty one-year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25. They cost like $15 a piece of such high quality instead of the regular $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week only with no code required on all orders above $75. Just at checkout, $11 comes off the price. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn are 50% off an amazing natural fat burning private label of the top seller. So, you know, it's already a top company. It totally works, certified. 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and take advantage of the incredible fundraiser sale now for incredible discounts on all of our merch, including the new Holy Wars line of Life is Fire with its Beauty. It's all based on the Crusades, which were in defense to over 100 Islamic attacks on Europe. If you don't go now, you won't be able to use the free $11 we are offering this week only. And you may miss out on the Ultimate Burn, which is about to sell out. Life is Fire with its Beauty one-year anniversary fundraiser sale details. All hats and shirts site-wide are just $25 and $35. Get a $11 to use anywhere on the site. No code needed for all orders above $75. Get an additional 50% off on all one-time orders of Ultimate Burn. And there's a bunch of other 50% off on Methylene Blue and so much more. Remember, every dollar you spend, thealexjonesstore.com is a round in the heart, information-wise, peacefully, of the New World Order, satanic globalist cabal. Be the reason we will always be on the air while you still have a chance to save free speech and humanity itself. We've really gotten traction against the globalists. We're having major victories, but we've got to go over the top here. I am in state court today, federal court next week. We're deposing these people. I met with the Justice Department last week. Major stuff you will see within days on the quick side, within a week on the long side. You want action? You want it's happening. We can only stay in the fight because of you. So I salute you all. You are the spirit of 1776. You are the answer to the 1984 tyranny. You are the resistance. The answer to 1984 is 1776. And I salute you all for your support, your word about your prayer. And I salute this crew, the best crew ever. They are so amazing. So keep them in the fight as well. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Be the reason we always stay on the air.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the second half of the second hour of American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. Thank you for jumping on with us today. We're going to be taking your calls in just a few moments, but we're having a celebration over here that I wanted to tell you about. Head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com because we have our one-year anniversary celebration going on right now. We're passing those savings on to you. Some of your favorite items are on sale right now, and it's worth highlighting because it's only happening for this week only. But you head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. We've got those hats and shirts that you guys can't get enough of. They are on sale for $25. They're normally $35. And when you spend over $75, well, we're going to give you a free $11 with no code necessary to use. And it's all because it's our fundraiser sale. So head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Take a look around. There's some incredible deals, and they won't last very, very long. So definitely indulge over there. All right, we're taking your calls now. Folks, yesterday we tried this and we didn't get to all the callers. I'm going to try to get to all the callers today. So we're going to start calling on people. Let's keep it brief. I'll try not to talk as much like I always do. And we'll kick things off first with Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the program. We're excited to have you on today. What can you talk about?
Thank you very much, Brianna, and congratulations on taking over the American Journal. I used to listen to you just 1 hour every Saturday, and now I get you 15, maybe 16 hours a week, right? this is going to be great.
Yes, thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. What I called in about is, and this may have already been discussed, I know you showed the video of the 19-year-old Ryder Coral, who was walking through the Charlie Kirk Memorial at Phoenix, Arizona. He was kicking the flags and vases and flowers and balloons. He was making a big mess of things, and a citizen threw him to the side and other citizens, and he was arrested, and they did push him up against a brick wall. They handcuffed him. When they turned him around, that's what caught my attention, and you'll be able to find this. Mm-hmm. He's wearing the exact same shirt as was the assassin. It's the black shirt with the American flag and the eagle in the front of it. And what I'm wondering is that some sort of some cult or some clique? Because I've never seen that that shirt before. So does that mean you have to belong to some club to get that? Because the killer was 22. The kid that kicked it, he was 19. So do you have to be some club to get that shirt?
Yeah, I wonder. I actually don't know, to be honest with you. And I saw how people were comparing the images. So, yeah. And one would assume, because it happened so quickly, that he didn't just order it online and get it shipped to his house that quickly. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something interesting to look into. And I think that's something also the president wants us to kind of examine here, because obviously all these radical groups, these left-wing groups, are the ones who are pushing these kids to do just that. And I think it's worth looking into, though, for sure. I will actually get on that, because that is a great point that you make, Tim, a great point. Thanks for calling, Tim. I'll just add that to my to-do list right now, and I will have an answer for you very, very soon. Let's turn to Tim in Michigan, who also has a question for us. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
So basically, this just covers a few things that you could potentially do to help if you don't want your loved one's organs harvested, falsely in a hospital setting.
Okay.
So basically, pretty much during COVID-20 to 2021, my dad survived what we call the death protocols. And so during that time, he was a very healthy, like early 70-year-old man, and late 60s. And so pretty much it was during that time that we had power of attorney, and we had an advocate with full HIPAA clearance. What we didn't have was an advance directive to the physician, which is a notarized form you can have laying out what you don't want them to do. And he also did not have his organ donation checked, which helped, because just to sum it up, at some point we had a meeting with all the physicians, and they were kind of sitting around, and we had our advocate on the phone too. And they were pretty much saying, oh, we don't know really what's going to happen. And they were kind of, hemming and hawing. And I know that if he did have the organ donation checked, they would have, probably offed him and used his organs. But so it pretty much, just to lay it out, if you can have power of attorney, have an advocate, which is like it was a nurse, specialized nurse through my dad's company that had full HIPAA clearance, and an advance directive to the physician that's notarized, that could help you out to also prevent any maleficence from happening in that setting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a great point that you make. And we learned a lot of lessons during the pandemic. The pandemic, because at this point, folks, it was egregious to see what was unraveling. But that's a great, great point. I mean, we really saw how corrupt these hospitals were. It really highlighted all of that. And I think that's really useful advice. So, Tim, thank you for that. Andrew in New York, welcome to the program, my friend. Looks like you want to talk about the Fed. We're going to talk about that a little bit the next hour, but I'm excited to hear you and your take on this.
So what I'm seeing about the Fed is that through a gradual process, multiple things, the Bitcoin treasuries, that also is going to be used to have Bitcoin-backed mortgages. And also another thing that the Trump administration is doing is he's having Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac go back to being public. And also the stable coins, that's going to be for a new currency. I think it's going to be backed by the metals. And I think they should use Tether for it because it's proof of work. I think he's going to restructure the Fed into the Treasury. Like the IRS, they have the External Revenue Service. I think Trump's taking the the Pacer bloodline controlled Fed, and he's having everybody capitulate, and he's taking over it so that there's going to be a new monetary system. There's going to be quantum financial system. I think it's basically what's going on with the Treasury, and like they're saying too, like they caught the Fed, and they're saying too, they caught Lisa Cook and all them committing mortgage fraud. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're like, and they went to the Fed building. Trump went to the Fed building, so, and it's on federal land, so that means that they don't have to fund anymore, like the banks and stuff. They're not going to be able to do the fractional like reserve anymore because they don't have their money insured. Like that's why it's like. Also, he's going to England and all that stuff too, so that takes it away from the euro dollar. So I think it's gonna be a whole new like. It's being U.S. note. I think they call it like. I heard one of the names was going to be like a rainbow currency. It's backed by all different metals and cryptos. Like the stable coins are saying, like that's for like, like basically to stabilize the dollar and stuff. But the bigger money is like the Bitcoin and stuff because, like I was saying, the Bitcoin backs like the treasuries could be used for tokenization. So it could be used for all kinds of stuff like insurance, could be used for mortgages.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. No, I think the president's doing a good job at that. And I think he's open to suggestions, too. So we look forward to seeing how that all unravels. Andrew, thank you for calling us. We appreciate you calling in today. I want to go to Wes in South Carolina. Wes, welcome to the program. I hear you have a personal story in regards to vaccines.
Hey, Brianna, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm 36. I've been listening to y'all since high school.
Thank you.
I've been a cable guy. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Always been a supporter. God bless all y'all. Love y'all.
Yeah.
And congrats on your new position as well.
Thank you.
I'm going to say a few things real quick because I know you only have X amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister, going along with the whole vaccine thing, my sister years ago got the flu vaccine, and she actually developed cancerous polyps on her lady parts. So just a warning there. I don't know how, out of 1,000 cases, how many, cases actually, corresponds to possibly getting cancerous polyps, but just a warning there. And another thing on the vaccines, my wife and I just had our – well, he's eight and a half months now. But we found it troubling because we're devout Christians, but we found it troubling that they wanted to give him hepatitis shots. It just blows my mind that, why would you give a baby a STD vaccine?
Yeah. Nobody ever has an explanation for that, though.
Right. Exactly. Right. And last thing, I have a lot of, because I've worked for all the, I told you I was a cable guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with, all the bigs, on the Eastern Seaboard, and I got some information I'd like to pass along to you and Alex and our community and see if we can get some research done on it. How would I go about passing that information along?
Well, my email is, I usually take tips through my personal email, so you could email me at BriannaMorello@ProtonMail.com. BriannaMorello@ProtonMail.com. You send that over there.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Gabriel in West Virginia, what is on your mind?
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Welcome to the show.
Lovely. Thank you. I wanted to talk about something that I've noticed over the past couple of weeks that has just been bothering me as a father, as a defender, as a man, just where the fight has went for people. I was out on route the day that the lady was stabbed on the train. And I talked to a deputy, and he says to me, I don't know what to do. I asked him, what can we do about this? I have to say something. I can't give consent to this garbage anymore. I'm over it. I have to do something. And he says to me, we can't say anything. because if we do, we're labeled as a racist, and so our hands are tied. And I say, okay, let me give that to God. Let me sit with that for a minute. Let me try to forgive and show compassion for this dynamic. And on that day, something very old and deep welled up in me that I'm having a tough time putting words to. And so then we carry forward 3 days later. And I'm watching Harrison go through the same thing that I went through, wanting to take immediate action, feeling a visceral response to what happened. And I went home that day, and I asked my wife. I asked my beautiful wife. I say, darling, this could have been our little girl that this happened to. Like, this is all of us that this is happening to in general. I got to do something. I got to say something. She says to me, if we do that, we play into the victimization. This is what they want. They want us to be irate. They want us to be this and that. And when I sat for that, and I asked the people at work, right, the other guys I deliver mail with, they're all upset. They don't know what to do. We can't say anything into the space because if we do, we are immediately judged and put into one side or the other, whether it be left or right, up or down. But I just wanted to figure out, please, why there's this softening that's happened with the religion, with the dogma, with left or right, with things that have happened. And by God, I just want to elicit a fire in people because if we don't say anything, we give implied consent to people to keep doing this and keep saying this poison into our children's ears and into our reality. And I'm wondering who else out there has lost their fight. Like, where has that thing in you, that Scottish fire that lives in us and that I see come through in Alex? Like, where's that thing that says, like, what really can we go out and do with our time, with our effort? The zeitgeist in general has changed. And let me just say this, too. What a beautiful thing to see that silver-tongued Jimmy Fallon have his tongue just melted and turned into the tip of the spear. So all the people that don't have Christ in their heart, we're seeing it, aren't we? Live and in living color, we're seeing people that are coming out of the woodwork, right? Mm-hmm. So I just, please, am wondering, am I the only person that's been dealing with this? Are there people out there that have partners or fathers that don't know what to do and don't know what to say? So I genuinely, just like what I saw Harrison go through, like, what does taking action look like, right? We're at a turning point in society. The zeitgeist is changing. The collective is starting to move. And the people of God are coming together. But I'm wondering, okay, so I turn the cheek. Do I pick up a microphone? Do I go, like, what do we do other than what I've been seeing you do? Like, putting the information out there so people can make an informed decision so they're not having their consent used against them. And it's the same thing with the organ harvesting, right? Like, you can't even say no to that when you go to get your license renewed anymore. It's like these little games and these twists and the malevolence that just seems to be, like, lacing everywhere. And so I'm so wondering and passionate about being able to light a fire wherever that can be lit so that we can collectively rally to say to everybody, and for my daughter too, right? And I'll lead you at this, right? And this is a plug for some of the products. My two-year-old girl will come over, and on my desk, I leave the nascent iodine sitting out, and she'll point at it, and she'll say to me, she says, Daddy, iodine. And every couple of days, I give her a drop, right? And so I just think it's so sweet that even my little girl knows when she needs it. And it's not every day. It's every couple of days she'll say, she'll come up to me and do that. So I'm like, people, please, like, it doesn't matter. 2 years old, like, get these supplements and get the nutrition in your kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give that plug, and I wanted to just elicit, like, the understanding of consent in America, and that I after everything I saw this last week when we lost Charlie and people on the train, like, really, like, what can we do? And how can we get past this whole, I'm going to be cancel cultured, I'm going to be shut down, I'm going to lose my job. A deputy sheriff said this to me, right? Like, here in West by God, West Virginia, even, too. Yeah. And I can imagine what it's like in Chicago or Dallas or New York or these other liberal cities where it's like, oh, okay, well, you could shoot up dope and sit underneath the bridge and we won't do nothing. But, you know, it's just like, please, I really need an explanation as to why more of us as men can't rally and what to do that's nonviolent, that actually shows passion, to compassionately witness these demonic individuals that, for whatever reason, don't have Christ at the helm, guiding them, moving them, having them in alignment with love, with truth, and consideration for our fellow man. But at this point, whatever I'm feeling, whatever Alex is feeling, I 100%, you're going to see it kind of expand in this beautiful way. But I'm like, what's the game plan? What's the linear path? What's the process? how do we do it and how do we rally everybody to do it? You know, like I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Well, I think Americans, here we go, ready? I think most Americans saw what happened to Charlie Kirk and they felt very, very low. We're seeing a whole new wave of young people turn to the church. Sunday service, there were so many videos popping up of individuals having a line outside of their churches to get into Sunday service. So I think that's where I lean on for hope. But when it comes to, and you know, it's interesting that you say this because I'm one of seven kids. My parents have six girls, one boy. And my father saw that video of that poor woman getting stabbed on the train. He became infuriated because as my mom put it, that could have been any of us. The first thing I want to say is this. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a man follow me into my building. And apparently they told me that it was random after I forced the police to get involved. Now, I described the suspect or the suspicious person to law enforcement as a Middle Eastern man in his mid-20s. And for some reason, law enforcement, that's the Plano Police Department, didn't want to look into it. They didn't want to give me the footage. They totally turned a blind eye and said that it was just a man trying to flirt with me. But he followed me up the stairs and tried to get up to my apartment. And that's in my perspective. That's what his goal was. But here's the thing. People are too afraid. They're too afraid to go with their gut instincts. And I don't know if that girl wasn't paying attention. She's not from this country. But I would have looked and seen the guy with a hoodie on. And I would have saw the fact that he was talking to himself. And just the fact that I know crime statistics and I know which groups of people are the ones who are more likely to attack me, I would have known to not sit in front of him, turn my back towards him. This is the footage of the man who followed me into my complex. Thank you for our control room for putting this up. But my point is this. Sadly, that girl probably had her headphones on and wasn't paying attention, and she didn't hear him speaking to himself. He was obviously schizophrenic. You could see it in the full footage. I would have picked up and moved. And I think we need to start telling young women and young men, don't fear being called a name. Don't fear being called a racist. If you hear something like that happening behind you, I know that young black men in this country do not undergo the mental health that they need, the medication, the services that they need. And so I would have noticed all those signs and would have never turned my back towards that man. Now, again, she's not from this country and I don't blame her. But we need to not be afraid of being called a name. Because it's going to save our lives, you know. The man who, and this video is horrific, the man who followed me into my building, he thought he was going after a woman. He's literally chasing behind me. Then when he gets into my building, when I'm telling him, and I'm not having a friendly conversation with him, I'm telling him to get out because you don't live here. He then insists on going up the stairs. The only reason why he runs out of the building is because I was ready to defend myself. But there's very few people in this country that know, and women, who know how to defend themselves in a situation like that. Most women would probably be fearful of being called a name, given the fact that he's a Middle Eastern man. But my gut told me something was very wrong about the situation. The whole time he's just saying, I want to pet your dog. Well, I obviously cover those stories, and I know that men from the region don't like dogs. And long behold, after I fought the police department on all of this, because I don't care about being called a name, I find out that, oh, look, he was chasing behind me. And it wasn't just that instance. He was actually falling behind me for quite some time. And I had no idea. So don't be afraid of being called a name. Don't back down. That video has received 8 million views. And you know who's now doing their job? The Plano Police Department. Who told me that this was just a man trying to flirt with me. They actually put it in the police report. So where do we go from here? Well, don't be afraid of being called a name. I sure as hell wasn't. When he decided to come after me, I had two decisions, either run for my life, knowing that he was following me up the stairs in a building he didn't belong in a private building in a stairwell, or defend myself. And I chose self-defense. Now, he later spoke with police because I forced them, after the video got 2 million views, to go and question him. I found him. Somebody actually on X also sent over his information as well because they found him. We ran his biometrics. And I'll have that video for you soon, but according to law enforcement, he said he was just trying to talk to me because he thought I was an attractive woman. When they said, well, she told you to leave, why didn't you back down and get out? I just wanted to keep talking to her. He wasn't there to talk. And that's my beliefs. But this is the key point here. Number one, don't be afraid of being called a name. When law enforcement wants to look the other way, you demand that they do their jobs. FOIA requests, all those public records requests, you actually have a right to. They weren't going to investigate my case, so I forced them to take in the surveillance footage as evidence. I literally reached out to the building owner, made them turn it over. They didn't turn it into evidence, though the police officer decided not to. I made my way down to the police station and forced them to turn it in as evidence. And then I submitted a Freedom of Information Act request for all the evidence that they had, and then found the guy myself. And we found out that even though he told law enforcement that he was just trying to talk to me because he thought I was attractive, I actually found out days later after this, he had an engagement prayer. We found that. So he's engaged. So he wasn't trying to take me to dinner. But this is the reality that we live in. He's actually Egyptian. Lara Logan, I will always remember Lara Logan's story about what happened to her in Egypt. People fear just saying the truth. The reality is people who come from regions like that do have a history of being barbaric when it comes to women. And so again, we need to know these things. We need to know about people's backgrounds. We need to know and have it in our heads and not be afraid of being called a name. And listen, I don't want people to get violent because that's what they want. They want to be able to point to a conservative, a Christian conservative, especially would be the gold mine for them, and say, look at this person. Look at them. They're violent too. But we're not the violent ones. You know, your gut instinct, Gabriel, is to defend women, to defend that woman on that train. Five people sat there and saw what happened to her and didn't intervene. Took about 90 seconds for another man, and I think we should celebrate him. I think we should honor him. He tried to help her. Unfortunately, it was too late, though. There's this culture where we've just become so cruel to one another. We don't want to get involved, and I can't even tell you. I'm not even to tell you to get involved in those situations because we all saw what happened to Daniel Penny. They persecuted him. They wanted to throw him in prison. Time and time again, this is what they do. They want you to fear, and here in Austin, they want you to fear self-defense. You know, we saw it during the BLM riots, what they did. If you decided to defend yourselves. I mean, normally we would build memorials. We would celebrate these people who go out there and do things that are that brave, who intervene, who protect women. But for some reason, we don't do that anymore. And it's because they're going to be prosecuted. They're going to be targeted. Gabriel, thank you for calling in on that one. That was a good point to bring up. Folks, we're going to be heading into the third hour of American Journal, and I've got a lot to discuss. Two incredible guests joining us in just a few moments. Hunter Gaylord joining us and Nick Sorter as well. He's over at Turning Point USA right now. We've got a lot to talk about, so don't go anywhere.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento, and when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation in such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 War Bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout, and it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the War Bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones War Bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams, thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globals are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light is Fire with its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your
support.
With me. It's been an eventful week, my very first week of hosting this program, and I'm excited that you're all on board. I love hearing from you guys on Twitter because you guys have been sounding off and being very supportive, and I appreciate it. So make sure you follow both the InfoWars Twitter account and mine as well. That's at Brianna Morello. And I love going down and reading all of your comments. So make sure you tell us how you think we're doing. How can we improve? How can I improve? And maybe I'll listen to you. Some of you kind of mean. I'm just kidding. But folks, we got a lot to talk about today. We're very excited to kick off the third hour of the program. I'm excited because we have a couple of guests who I look forward to speaking to. Nick Sorter is actually at the Turning Point headquarters right now, and he's going to be joining us in a few moments. A lot to discuss there because obviously Charlie Kirk's passing has a lot of people on edge right now. So I want to hear what's going on. Turning Point has seen like an influx of applicants who are now turning to the organization to help spread Charlie's message. That's something I think the assassin did not predict was going to happen. The people who wanted to silence Charlie Kirk just woke up thousands of Americans who aren't going to back down anytime soon and will continue to carry his voice. And so we look forward to that discussion in just a few moments with Nick Sorter, who's on the ground there in Turning Point. We're also going to have Hunter Gaylor on the program today because I want to talk about finances. I want to talk about the economy. I want to talk about how the Fed has now just decided it's going to be rolling back interest rates. Again, President Trump has been screaming about this, and now they're starting to do it. It's a little infuriating, but is it too late? Hunter's ready to sound off on that. He is who I turn to for good financial advice, and I know you guys are going to enjoy him on the program today. We'll also go back, because I know we were bouncing around from the RFK presser. I didn't get it finished going off on Jimmy Kimmel. We'll talk about that too, because man, oh man, I am just so done. I am so done with all the people who have sat here and celebrated and participated and encouraged cancel culture. Now they're finally on the receiving end of it and they don't like it. Reports saying that Jimmy Kimmel is infuriated. Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? That's why you don't support these movements, regardless of who is on the receiving end of the punishment. That's why it's so important to be outspoken. That's why it's so important to push back. I don't care who's being canceled. I normally wouldn't support it. But when it's someone who is such a mouthpiece for the movement, enjoy it. I know I am sitting back watching you as you continue to unravel. He used to celebrate all the time, all these conservatives who were being canceled. Carlson, Roseanne, he loved going out there to talk about that, to make fun of them. Well, now you're on the receiving end of that. Sucks to suck, doesn't it? Folks, right now we are having an incredible sale over at the alexjonesstore.com. I have to tell you about it because it's the 1 year anniversary sale going on right now. You got to head on over to the Alex Jones store because some of your favorite items are on sale right now. I know a lot of you guys are fans of the shirts, of the hats. Well, for this week only, they are on sale. Normally $35. You're going to get them for $25. And when you spend $75, you get a free $11 to use at the store. You also get an additional 50% off all one-time orders of Ultimate Burn and MK Ultra and Atomic Defense. Folks, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It is time to go out there, support us, and you're also going to get a bunch of great, great products when you do. But you're the only reason why we're able to stay on air and stay in this fight. So thank you very much. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. So many incredible items that you're going to want to buy up because they're only on sale for this week only. All right, we're getting ready to kick off the third hour of American Journal. I'm excited that you guys are here. A lot to discuss. It's been a very chaotic week, of course, very busy week, but we look forward to that. We love that because there's so much to dive into, so much to call out that mainstream media is too afraid to discuss. But we are not afraid. I am not afraid, and we're not letting up anytime soon. So stick with us as we head into the third hour of the program. I've got a lot to discuss. So stay here.
And I remain squarely focused on achieving our dual mandate goals of maximum employment and stable prices for the benefit of the American people. While the unemployment rate remains low, it has edged up. Job gains have slowed, and downside risks to employment have risen. At the same time, inflation has risen recently and remains somewhat elevated. In support of our goals, and in light of the shift in the balance of risks, today the Federal Open Market Committee decided to lower our policy interest rate by a quarter percentage point. We also decided to continue to reduce our securities holdings. I'll have more to say about monetary policy after briefly reviewing economic developments.
Jerome Powell speaking yesterday. He has finally decided to lower the interest rate, something that President Trump has been calling on for quite some time. So now he's finally listening up. Now he's finally giving in. But again, folks, it's just a quarter percentage. So will it really do much? Will you see any of the benefits from this? Well, joining me now to discuss is Hunter Gaylor. He is an international money manager, and he is with us today to break all of this down and what this means for your wallet. Hunter, thank you for joining the program. We're excited to have you on the program today. Jerome Powell coming out now and making the cuts that President Trump has been asking for months now. So is it little too late?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. Big fan, obviously.
Thank you.
Let me just say this. You know, here's the problem. It better late than never, I guess, is the point that we have to say at this point. But I mean, this was a little quarter point cut. I mean, okay, thank you. But I mean, we were expecting a point to a point and a half. You know, are we going to see significant change? Probably not. I mean, it's a glass of tap water. It's refreshing, but it's not going to change the party.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it mean for Americans financially? Because I know a lot of Americans have been holding off, whether it's buying a home or getting a loan. They wanted to wait for a cut to happen. Do you think now we're going to see some movement in the housing market?
No, I don't think you are. I mean, you see the Dow's up a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. The S&P's up, NASDAQ's up. You're seeing a little bit of the market responding to it. But with regards to the housing market, yes, it helps. But, you know, once again, you know, one cut's not going to build new homes. We still need supply, and we don't need not just cheaper mortgages. So lower interest rates are, they may get buyers off the sidelines, but they don't pay your property taxes or your insurance or affordability. If it's more than the mortgage rate. So, you know, unfortunately, I think that, you know, what Powell is trying to do is I think he's slowly listening to Trump, but we need bigger cuts. We need cuts now. We need job growth. This goes back to the American enterprise system, right? We need people to get to work. We need jobs. We need job creation, and that will fuel economic growth.
Yeah. And, you know, President Trump has been pushing for this for quite some time now. And it looks like, you know, Powell has given in a little bit. But, you know, we had Mel Kay on this show. We have her on quite often. Yep. And she's constantly, and that's a mutual friend of ours, she's constantly saying that Jerome Powell doesn't work for the American people, that he is, in fact, working for the globalists. And that's something that she's very passionate about. But now we're seeing this cut. Do you think this means that Jerome Powell is a little bit on edge and he's a little worried about his job at this point?
Well, yeah, I mean, in fact, I love the clip here because that was the reaction where he's trying to say, and Trump saying, look at this, look at this. He doesn't know his own numbers. He doesn't work for the American people. If he worked for the American people, he would be lowering these interest rates. The Fed has always been an independent body. We know that. We think it's part of the captured state if you look at it from an economic perspective, right? So the Fed should be working on behalf of the public good, right? Not against us, right? And so when the President of the United States, who, let's go back for the viewing audience. Trump has been dealing in this world for a significant period of time. Even his father was in this world when you're building. With real estate, interest rates, loans, I mean, you know, how you value properties, how you don't value properties, how you make investment decisions is all based on what the interest rates are. And so that's going to lead you to making very significant economic decisions. We do it in our business every day. What are our rates? What rates can we potentially negotiate with whatever banks we're working with? And so we're always looking towards the Fed. Trump is telling him, guys, look, I'm the president. The buck stops with me. I'm telling you, you need to do this for the American people. And when Jerome Powell's sitting in his ivory Fed tower, right, saying, you know, what jobs is he creating? What jobs do the Federal Reserve create? I'm just asking, right? And because I don't see how they're actually helping us right now, because it's not helping my business. It's not helping anybody else's businesses, especially if, you know, oh, a quarter of a point cut. Fine. Thank you for listening. But that's not what I asked for. Right. Even Trump said it should have been close to 200. And so a basis point. So when you look at it, I don't think he's working for the American people. I think he's and maybe this is a bold claim to say, and maybe I'll get in trouble for saying it. But I think he's directly working against the American people by not working with the president and listening to someone that actually has created jobs, actually built buildings, and actually paid bills.
Yeah, yeah, and that's 100% correct. You know, I was watching the mainstream media and how they were covering this and what their angle was on this, and I couldn't help but to notice that they were trying to angle this about illegal immigration and how now we're seeing potentially a threat to the labor market now that we're deporting all of these illegals, and that was their big drive point home. It's interesting that they're connecting it. Do you think that this has anything to do with Powell reducing the interest rates yesterday? Because they seem to believe that there might be a possible linkage between both.
I mean, I think that's reaching. That's grasping for straws as an excuse. I think that's just, that's fodder. That's what I would consider an unintellectual talking point. Mm-hmm. I think they're grasping for straws. You know, when you look at immigration, right, and we've always said this, and, you know, I think we've said this before, but if you import the third world, you become the third world. And so, you know, if they're trying to say that, oh, the feds is going to cut rates because we've deported all these people. First of all, we don't have the real deportation numbers. We don't have the real jobs numbers. We've had an administration that's been being lied to the executive branch, right, on what the real numbers are. We've got these bad actors in these positions that are not giving the American people what we voted for when we voted for Trump. And so at the end of the day, until we know what the real numbers are, to be able to make the claim that the reason that he's doing this is because, oh, we're losing jobs. The people that are being deported, okay, let's be very clear. They're not the high wage earners, right? These are the people that are probably working in, you know, in the fields. It's the ICE raids that are going on. It's not like these are massively Ivy League educated individuals that are, you know, going and doing massive investments in, say, the semiconductor space, right? These are low-income people that have been, you know, working off the back of my taxpaying dollars, right, in construction and in labor and in all of these other things. And so we're going to use the excuse that, oh, because we're getting rid of these people that aren't creating jobs, right? They're actually taking jobs away from the American people, right? And then they'll make the claim, oh, well, they're jobs that the Americans don't want. Well, you know, Mike Rowe does a great job in Dirty Jobs where he talks about there's plenty of jobs for the American people. It's just we need to get off our high horses and be willing to go learn how to be a plumber, right? And so, you know, but to use the excuse or the talking point to go against Trump or the administration and frame it in some light that, oh, because we're deporting all these people, of which we don't know the number, right, that's the qualification to lower interest rates? Give me a break.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like another way, a creative way to spin their narrative on that front, because that's something they're dedicated to these days. And they want to make Americans feel like you need all of these illegal aliens in your country. You need them. But that's not the case, and we all know that. Before you go, Hunter, I want to get your take on the saga between Lisa Cook and President Trump. Obviously, Jerome Powell yesterday refusing to weigh in on this, but Lisa Cook believes that she shouldn't have been terminated. She hasn't 100% denied the claims against her regarding mortgage fraud, but Powell just wants to back away from it and not weigh in on that front. Do you think he needs to weigh in on that? Should he be siding with the president or with Lisa?
Well, look, I can understand what he's saying. You know, he should stick to interest rates and not intramural politics, right? If I was in the position, right? You know, but, you know, if Powell is silence, I think frustrates the press, but, you know, independent from politics is what gives the Fed its supposed credibility, which I don't believe, right? I think that is part of this global banking, you know, cartel, if you will. But, you know, she committed fraud. It's right there. And because, oh, it's an ongoing case, I can't comment on it. I think that's a cop out. I think he's afraid for his own job. So he's watching what he says. But I mean, I'm not a big fan of Lisa Cook. I've never been a fan of Lisa Cook. A little bit of research will show you that she's never held a job outside of government. You know, she's an academic. And if you look at the academics that she's actually studied, it's been third world development, not about any type of, you know, labor markets or job creation or anything that's gone here. What qualifies her for even, you know, dealing with Fannie and Freddie, you know, outside of the intellectual system of theory and thought that you would have at the Ivy League University level? And I do believe she was like a visiting professor at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. But, you know, she's never had a job. Right. She's always been employed by the federal government or an education or an educational institution. So I think she needs to go. I think we need to have business people in running our government. You know, I don't like the fact that you've got these, you know, career bureaucrats that have only ever made a paycheck. Right. And Trump's always said it right. Trump used to sign the front of checks. Right. And you know, not the back of checks. Okay. And that's what these people do. They work, they get a paycheck, and they're just, they have no real world experience. And so they're up there making these rules. And look, if she committed a crime, she should do the time. Right. And she is in a position where we should hold our leaders accountable. And if we don't hold our leaders accountable and Trump comes in and says, I want this person out, get them out of here. Right. Then that's what we should be doing. And we should be doing it swift. And we should be doing it very, very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts. And I'm sticking to them.
Well, I like your thoughts. And I think they're great to stick to those because you make some great points, my friend. Hunter, thank you for joining the program today. It's an honor to have you on. We look forward to having you back soon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, let's go back to Jimmy Kimmel because this is a topic we can't let up on. I want to talk about how the fact the mainstream media now wants to defend him as if he is someone who is being attacked for simply just speaking his mind. Yeah, they're trying to point this up as always on President Donald Trump. But interesting enough, Brian Stelter, who's over at CNN these days, I don't even know how he gained his way back, but he's back there. He thinks America has become less of a free place after this new firing of Jimmy Kimmel. Take a listen.
Go ahead. I'm interested because are they sending everyone home? You know, what's happening on the scene? You know, the show would have been taping within the next hour. So people would be there. Yes, this is very abrupt. Very abrupt.
And this is all about jawboning. It's all about public pressure. You know, actually revoking FCC licenses is extremely difficult. I wrote about this last fall when candidate Donald Trump was talking on the campaign trail about wanting to punish stations by taking away their licenses. And throughout the history of the country, ever since we've had broadcast television, license revocations are extraordinarily rare. Once you've got one, you're pretty much guaranteed to keep it. So the threat is not that the FCC is actually going to take away a license. It's about the public noise. It's about the shame and embarrassment. It's about Brendan Carr going on podcasts and embarrassing ABC. You know, there's a term for this. It's jawboning. And that's what we've seen happen today.
I don't even know how he makes his way back into cable news, but he's there. It's not Brendan Carr's fault. I'm actually excited that he's finally speaking up. You know, Carr has not been the advocate that I think we've needed at the FCC for quite some time now, but now he's feeling inspired with President Trump in the White House. But folks, they want you to think Jimmy Kimmel is a victim, but Kimmel's not a victim. Kimmel was a participant in cancel culture. And now that the tables have finally turned and he is being canceled, it's not an attack on free speech. It's not an attack launched by the White House. The reality is number one, ratings-wise, he's doing horribly. And number two, no advertiser wants to advertise with an individual who thinks it's funny to make comments regarding an assassination. To wrongfully accuse an entire movement of 81-plus million Americans that their ideas were the reason why Charlie Kirk is assassinated. So guess what happens? Channels, networks, they nuke you when they have those problems. But Kimmel, he's got a sense of humor, but it's only when the cancel culture is happening to those on the right. Now, listen, we have a lot of great folks digging through all the archives, finding all the evidence that Jimmy Kimmel's cancel isn't, well, it is warranted. Like the time when he celebrated Roseanne getting fired, We've got that clip. Let's take a listen.
The biggest story of the day today was Roseanne. Roseanne, you're not going to believe this, but she tweeted something outrageous. No. I know. Yeah, right. The president did it, too. It's crazy. Anyway, ABC decided to cancel their highest-rated show, Roseanne, following a tweet in which Roseanne compared an African-American woman, a former advisor to President Obama, to an ape, which did not sit well with ABC management or anyone with a brain, really. So they announced that this first season of the show is also its last.
Wasn't so funny, but he found a way to make it funny, didn't he? Well, only for him and his like-minded sheep. And it doesn't end there. He also loved the facts. And they loved it. They were so, I remember this video that came out. AOC was thrilled when Tucker Carlson got canned from Fox. She thought Tucker was over. It was done for. Little did she know that he had the biggest platform and he was going to build the biggest platform. But Jimmy Kimmel couldn't help himself. He even joked about that. We've got that in clip 15.
Fox News has severed bow ties with Tucker Carlson. After all these years, they are parting ways, which means he was fired. I mean, that's really what parting ways means. Tucker couldn't be reached for comment. He's already on a plane to Moscow to meet with his manager. But what a shock. I mean, what an absolutely delightful shock this is. Now Tucker can spend more time at home tanning his testicles and touching himself to that sexy green M&M. Sadly, he's probably not done poisoning old people's brains. The question now is, where will he do it next? Will he go to OAN? Will he go to Newsmax? Will he crawl back up Satan's fiery beehole from whence he came? We don't know. One of the most despicable Mother Tuckers ever to appear on American television.
Oh, it's not so funny these days when you talk about getting canned from your cable news gig, huh? Yeah, he hopes you probably don't remember that, but we all do. We all do. But who's getting the last laugh in all of this? Charlie Kirk is. You see, Charlie Kirk was obviously on X a lot, tweeting out a lot, and he wasn't afraid to debate people. So we have all of these great, great tweets that we could reflect on and feel like, how would Charlie Kirk was still with us? What would he say? And Charlie Kirk reminds us in a tweet that Jimmy Kimmel's not actually funny. You see, this is what happens when you're a participant in cancel culture. It comes for you too. And so many people don't want you to be paying attention to it. Now they see him as a victim. They think Kimmel is a victim. The White House is coming for him. The White House isn't coming for him. The reality of it is he was never really able to bring in an audience. When you have a slot like he did on news, ABC, I should say, it is your responsibility to bring in an audience to welcome everyone. And he was unable to do that. He was unable to do that. Now, listen, I've asked you guys all at home to sound off on this story. I posted it in a tweet yesterday. Wanted to get your hot takes on this. And so many of you have poured in your messages, in your tweets. So let's go through some of them. First off, Ed's, thank you very much. Ed's first tweet is, you're crushing it on American Journal. In case you're wondering, I don't pay Ed. Ed is just very loyal. So thank you, Ed. Political A saying in a tweet, absolutely, Americans are tired of their lies and smearing Republicans. Ah, salty Disney. Also sounding off on X saying, Jimmy should learn to code. The tweets go on and on and on. Let me keep reading through these because these are some great ones. I know you guys at home love tweeting your thoughts. And we want to make sure we get those across. Let's see. Watch all the people that celebrated Roseanne getting fired clutch their pearls from Hero X. Yeah, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? The lousy excuses that they use to validate Roseanne getting canceled. Dawn saying, absolutely. Oh, thank you, Dawn. I wasn't doing this to tout myself again. But Dawn saying, you're doing a great job with your new show. I enjoy your work. Thank you, Dawn. I appreciate your support. Eric saying, who is Jimmy Kimmel? That's a great question. I don't think we'll know that very soon. And the list goes on and on. You guys are doing an incredible job. And I'm going to ask you more often for your takes on things like this. And we're going to air your responses on this program. So make sure you follow me on X. Make sure you follow our main account, our InfoWars account. That's where things are happening. That's where all these clips go. So at InfoWars, give us a follow on X. Folks, I want to turn to something else. I think everyone's forgotten about James O'Keefe and what he had to endure under the Biden regime. Thankfully, though, Congressman Massey is one of the brave ones who are stepping up and reminding the American people what he had to endure. Now, in case you don't remember, James O'Keefe, when at Project Veritas, he obtained legally the Ashley Biden diary. Now, again, he had no idea on how it was, from what we've understood, how that fell into his lap, but he offered it to the FBI and even tried to hand it over to them. Well, under the Biden regime, they wanted to intimidate him because obviously that diary is what we now know were the accusations laid out that apparently Ashley Biden was saying that there was inappropriate showers between her and her father. Now, again, this happened when she was in rehab. Okay. So they didn't publish this at first, but somehow the feds raided James's home. And James just wanted some answers now that we have a new administration in the White House, and rightfully so, right? If someone comes for you and you're a journalist, you'd want some answers, especially when you tried to go around the legal means to get this over to the federal government so that they could actually do something about it. Because you yourself were not aware of what this actually meant, what the diary actually was about. I believe there was some hesitation on whether they thought it was authentic or not, but the government later confirmed it was. But listen, because now Congressman Massey is trying to bring attention to the fact that when James got the search warrants and got the documents related to the warrants that were carried out on his home, the searches that were carried out on his home, and even his fellow journalists, well, everything was heavily redacted. Take a listen to Massey and what he said to Director Kash Patel in clip 17.
The second document that I want to submit to the record, for the record, I know we don't usually read these. This one's not readable. It's completely redacted. For the most part, the first 50 pages. This is actually the search warrant that was served on James O'Keefe for a diary that he had already given to the government 2 months before. And as it turns out, there were no indictments here, yet he still doesn't know why he was raided, and I think he deserves to know. So,
no objection.
Thank you.
Now, you would think new administration, new rules, these are the kind of things we know about. So why are they trying to cover it up still? Still, the fact that these documents are so heavily redacted is deeply, deeply concerning. And the fact that this current administration is the one that's still carrying it out is also concerning. But again, new faces, are we really running new agencies? James O'Keefe has a lot of questions that are worthy of responses. And we hope he doesn't let up on that fight. We hope that we get some answers. Because the fact that James O'Keefe and his other journalists that were employed by Project Veritas had their homes raided over a story that was legitimate and they tried to get the federal government to take possession of the diary. Instead, they decided to use the most intimidation tactic. Well, we're going to find out more. We're not letting up on that topic. And I know James isn't either. That's something that I'm going to keep following up on with him as well, because we need answers. All right, don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to discuss on this program because, folks, Rush Limbaugh had some great words about Charlie Kirk, and we're going to remind you all of that in just a few moments.
Agent Jones leaps from the sky, martini in hand. Danger closing in fast. Dodging bullets and charming every woman in sight, he discovers the prize, a briefcase full of stolen war bonds. Not from the Queen, from the AlexJonesStore.com. Every bond fuels the mission. Every purchase keeps the fight alive. Support the show, because in this world, the only license that matters is to resist.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento, and when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store. And then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation in such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 War Bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout, and it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the War Bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones War Bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first. You get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams, thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globalists are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light is Fire with its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So.
Amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. Very excited that you guys are still with me. Many of you guys know we've been talking about a lot. And I'm excited to continue on the discussion in our final half of the show. First, I want to dip in on that hearing I told you that we were talking about earlier today. The D.C. officials who are testifying right now in front of the House Oversight Committee, it's all in regards to crime in Washington, D.C. And now we're forcing Democrats to admit that President Trump did a great job at reducing crime in D.C. Let's take a quick listen.
Came up here on this hill so many times to make the argument for the people of Washington that fairness has to be fair. It just can't be proportioned out when we feel like it. In 1990, Congressman Walter Fauntroy, myself, Marion, Jesse Jackson, and so many others put together freedom train rides from D.C. to New England, making a stop in each city along the way, making the case for statehood, and urging Americans up and down the coast to support it. In 1993, I was proud, along with your current delegate, to vote for the first D.C. statehood bill here in the Congress. And let me just point out one thing. Not one Republican voted for that bill. And that bill went down. It went down after a great deal of fight by a vote of 153 to 277. 2016 D.C. voters voted to approve a statehood referendum. The people voted 86% to approve that. This Congress ignored it. In 2020.
All right, we're going to be dipping in and out of this one because they're boring me right now. They're boring me. But you know who's not going to bore me? My friend Nick Sorter right now. Nick is joining us. He is an independent journalist. He also hosts an incredible show here on InfoWars on Sundays. And he's here with us now to remember Charlie Kirk. We're excited to have him here. Nick, thank you for joining me. I know that you've been working close over at Turning Point USA, and you guys are trying to do your very best. I believe you're there now, but I won't say anything because I see a bed behind you. But anyways.
I just don't want to say exactly where because these people are freaking crazy.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for blowing you up there. I will say this. I will say this, though, Nick. I'm happy that you're there because right now Turning Point, you know, they assassinated Charlie Kirk, and it was absolutely egregious, disgusting to watch, depressing, saddening. I mean, all of these feelings is what Americans are going through right now. But I want to focus a little bit on the positive because the positive things are is they thought they were going to silence Charlie when they went after him. But the reality is Turning Point's being flooded with thousands of applications for average Americans just looking to start their own chapters or somehow get involved. What's the latest on that front?
Yeah, I mean, they have more applications than they can handle. I mean, this is, everything that Charlie could have dreamed of and more. I mean, the response to his death and his killing is greater than, it's bringing about accomplishments that probably wouldn't have been possible throughout his life, right? This was a huge, huge wake-up call for regular Americans. And I mean, these college kids that just watched Charlie, this guy that they had seen all over TikTok, Instagram, X, get murdered in cold blood in front of them. And that jolted a lot of people. So, I mean, they're trying their best here to keep up with Charlie. In the beginning, said that he wanted to get Turning Point up to 20,000 chapters. And as we know, they're almost at 40,000 requests in less than a week. So, I mean, mind-boggling stuff. Mm-hmm. And people out here, I'll tell you, Brianna, like, you can tell the atmosphere here in Phoenix is, it's sad. Everybody from all walks of life, I've spoken to dozens of people here already, just out and about in Phoenix, not like at the Turning Point Memorial or anything. And they're all very aware of what happened. You can tell it's saddening for them. They are excited for the memorial service that's happening this weekend. Like, I had to change up my rental car because rental cars are almost sold out this weekend, and everybody knows why. Hotel rooms across the city are getting less and less vacant. This is going to be a huge weekend. They're going to pack this stadium. It holds 60,000 people. And I think that they're going to have more people that can actually even fit into the arena.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that sends a clear message that when you are trying to go after someone, when you are going to assassinate someone, that their voice will just be amplified. And the cause, what their cause was, their motive behind all of this is to silence somebody like Charlie. That in fact, thousands of Americans are picking up that microphone and they are going to go out there and they're going to spread his message. And I think that's really important on pushing back. Nick, I got kind of teary-eyed yesterday when I saw that Glenn Beck was filling in for Charlie on his show yesterday, and he left a microphone, a gold microphone that Rush Limbaugh had in front of Charlie's microphone, and it really pulled at my heartstrings. So we did some digging on too, and I know you actually pulled this one up, the 2018 remarks that Rush had made about Charlie, about the first time he met him. Let's take a listen.
There was a conference. What was it? Turning Point USA, how many kids were there? And there 3,000 student activists here in, it was actually over at West Palm Beach. And this is a group that has been put together and operates under the auspices of Charlie Kirk, right? Who is a, you're going to be hearing that name if you haven't. Charlie Kirk, let me just tell you, I don't want to jinx him, but I'm just going to tell you. They brought Charlie Kirk to the golf course to meet me about a month ago. He was in town to set up this Turning Point thing. And they brought him to the golf course to meet me. It was during, we were getting ready for a 8:45 a.m. start. And they brought him out while I was getting ready to go to the range to loosen up. And I spoke with him for about a half hour. And he told me how he grew up in a home where my program was on all the time. He was just effusively complimentary to me, which I, of course, understood and told him he's very wise, his family's very wise. He chuckled, he laughed. This is the kind of guy that you know, you can see really becoming big in politics as he gets older. He just has the carriage, the personality, the charisma. You may think this sounds weird, but I remember when Bill Clinton became president, there were all of these stories about Bill Clinton at Oxford and Bill Clinton at Yale and Bill Clinton here and all these people who went to school with him. There were story after story after story where people were saying that they just knew Bill Clinton was going to be president someday. In college, he just had that kind of ambition and he impressed people in a way that he could. I'm telling you that people are saying the same things about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, I didn't know Charlie personally. I did meet him once. He was very polite, was a very kind person, but I do have a lot of friends who've known him, and he would randomly, and I just knew this about Charlie, because they'd always say, oh, Charlie just texted me scripture, and he would randomly throughout the day just send them scripture. Everyone I know loves this guy. They spoke highly of him, which is kind of strange in this movement, because there's a lot of people have a lot of negative things to say sometimes, but I've never heard a single bad thing about Charlie Kirk. Everyone loved him, and everyone really enjoyed speaking with him and being friends with him, and he had a way of just making people feel like they were close friends of his. And it's just absolutely devastating. But I wanted to see, Nick, if you had anything to add to that, because, you know, a lot of people in this movement, and you're one of them, have probably a Charlie Kirk story to share.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy was, he actually helped me in the beginning push the East Palestine, Ohio story to the forefront, you know, bringing me on the show, putting me in contact with, you know, the president's team. And I was just, that was my first story that I had ever covered, right? Yeah. That was, I was just starting out, but I mean, he fully believed in me, fully was trying to help me elevate that story. And I mean, him doing that, it's one of the reasons that, you know, we still talk about it today. He was extremely approachable, and like it didn't seem like this guy, right, that had huge name ID, screaming fans all over the place. You could just walk up to him and have a normal conversation with him, regardless of who you were, and he would sit there and actually talk to you. There was nothing fake about Charlie Kirk. That's the that's probably one of the best things that I could say about him is what you see is genuine. He's not a fake Christian. There's so many fake Christians in this industry, Brianna, but this guy was the real deal. And I'm worried that for the sake of us Christians, that we're not going to be able to find anybody that's as effective as a messenger as he was, not just for politics, but for turning people back to God, especially young people. His ability to do that was unmatched. It was almost unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, and Nick, you make a great point, because there are a lot of grifters in this movement, and he wasn't one of them. He authentically believed in spreading the word, and that's what's so devastating about all of this. And I don't know who would be the equivalent or even come close to Charlie when it comes to that. And it's really upsetting, but you could tell this is touching a lot of people, especially the vice president, J.D. Vance. He won't stop talking about this, which is great, because we need to continue to talk about it. But he's pushing this out. And in all of his interviews, he continues to mention Charlie's name and talk about it. But the rhetoric on the left has been absolutely horrific to sit back and watch. People like Jasmine Crockett just being completely dismissive and trying to sit there and downplay their role in all of this when they've spent the last few years demonizing those on the right and pretending like Charlie and others are hateful individuals. And that's what's been going on for quite some time. So J.D. Vance is really going out there and taking a swing at all of these people who have contributed to the hate that's in this country right now for those on the right. Let's take a listen to what J.D. Vance said yesterday in clip 19.
Well, I'd ask Jasmine Crockett, what is it that you want people to do when you call them Nazis? What is it that you want them to do when you call them fascists? What is the proper response when you say that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Charlie Kirk are threatening your safety, what do you expect people to do? This rhetoric is completely out of control, and it's part of this entire network of violence that exists on the far left. You dehumanize your political opponents. You fund paid activists to go and harass them and terrorize them. We've had a White House senior staffer just in the past week who has had actual representatives of the Democratic Party going around passing leaflets trying to get his neighbors to harass him and showing people where he lives, where his wife lives, where his young family lives. If that's not political violence, if that's not political harassment, I don't know what the term means.
You know, Nick, I think you've been on the receiving end of a lot of this harassment as well as I have. And the left never stops. And they continue to say the certain things that they say, which they know trigger individuals who are potentially going to be violent, who have no fear in going after and targeting us. I mean, between the swatting calls and so many other different layers of harassment, they don't fear it. What's your take on J.D. Vance on all of this, his side of all of this, and how do we correct this issue moving forward?
I'll tell you what, I loved J.D. Vance. One of the things that he hit really hard when he guest-hosted Charlie's show the other day from the executive office building, he made very clear that this both sides BS is not going to work. We can't go down this road of, oh, well, we need to unify. And he said very clearly, you cannot unify with people who want to kill you. They want us dead. There is no unity in that. We cannot unify with these people. And again, we said this over and over again. We're not the ones killing people. It's them. It's exclusively the left every time. And we've already seen Jasmine Crockett. There's no surprise there. Of course, she's not going to turn down the rhetoric. I mean, because she needs her ghetto trash sound bites for, I hate to think that people are actually voting for that. I don't know who her constituency is. I believe it's one of the poorest districts in Texas, if not the poorest district. And it's infuriating to me. And I'm glad we're starting to see, Brianna, like, people held accountable for this rhetoric. Jimmy Kimmel, you probably already talked to him on the show, like, or about him on this episode, but they you started off with Nexstar. And for people that don't know, I believe they own News Nation as well. They own like 34 ABC stations. They came out first and said, we're not going to air live anymore. And then that forced ABC, the big ABC, Disney, to then pull Jimmy Kimmel off the air on all 250 plus stations that they have, right? That is incredible. That just shows you how much the tide has shifted in our current political landscape. You know, people that were canceling us just a few years ago for not following in line with COVID mandates are now they're responding to the complaints that we have. It's very clear that even corporations know that we're in the right at this point and the American people are on our side. Jimmy Kimmel, dude needs to be pulled off the air. It should have been pulled off the air a long time ago, right? He's not funny. It's supposed to be a comedy show, but if it's not funny, like, what's the point? Now, why is this guy still on air? So maybe ABC was looking for a reason to finally get rid of him. This is the perfect reason to do so. And, I believe one of the ABC affiliate groups said that they're demanding that Jimmy Kimmel give a sizable donation to both Turning Point USA and the family of Charlie Kirk. And in the spot of Jimmy Kimmel Live, they're going to be broadcasting tributes to Charlie Kirk instead. That part alone, I would say, is probably going to send Jimmy Kimmel in a freaking tizzy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reports are is that he's infuriated right now and he's upset about all
good.
Of this.
I love it.
I love it because, you know what, normally we're not advocates for cancel culture, but these are the people that were cheerleading when Roseanne was canceled, when Tucker Carlson got his show canceled, and they thought it was the greatest thing ever. So now they're on the receiving
end. They didn't say anything when Roseanne was canceled. Nothing.
He cheered for it.
She was fired by ABC. Yeah. So and now all of a sudden they're up in arms over it. I mean, they're hypocrites. Nobody takes them seriously. And I think at the end of the day, like, Jimmy Kimmel's done.
Yeah. Yeah, he thinks he's going to make a comeback. But, I mean, his ratings were already in the dumpsters prior to all of this. And nobody wants to watch this, right? Like those types of shows are supposed to bring people together, bring families together, and they're not supposed to be so polarizing. And I think that's the big issue here. I also wanted to bring up this, too, because we're watching now. The president is getting very aggressive on the front of these left-wing groups, these radicalized groups, now launching these investigations, according to the New York Post, into a lot of these LGBT groups, which they think there might have been a connection here, but they aren't 100%. On that, but they're willing to look into all of this. Apparently, this was Charlie's final words to President Trump, that he wanted this to be an investigation. He wanted them to dig into these groups, because these groups like Antifa and others are torturing our country. And the president announcing yesterday that he's going to make sure that Antifa is a now labeled a domestic terrorist organization. Your thoughts on the president stepping this up?
No, I think that's fantastic. We've been calling for this for years, Brianna. I'm so happy that this is finally being done. You look at what they're doing in places like Portland and Seattle, like they are terrorists. They are terrorizing the communities. They are hurting ICE officers. They're blowing things up, setting things on fire. These are people that need to be treated like militants, because that's what they are. There adds another layer to this whole thing as well when President Trump designates them as a major terrorist organization. It also allows him and the DOJ to go after the people who are funding them, because then these people are not funding terrorists. They're funding terrorist groups. And you don't want to be involved in funding terrorist groups. You're going to go away for a long time if you do that. I would love to see Soros keep writing these people checks, because that's how you're going to end up getting them. I mean, that's cut and dry. You write checks to a terrorist organization, you're going to prison.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how it should be. It should be like this. And it should have been done a long time ago. I mean, the fact that they led this invasion into our country with these NGO groups who were anything but religious related, they just wanted to continuously pump all these illegal aliens into our country, these unvetted aliens into our country, and we allow that to happen. But we're sitting back and we're watching as 2020, the BLM riots. I mean, they just allowed all of these groups to just burn Antifa, to burn down federal courthouses, and there wasn't really much in the way of a response. But the American people reelected President Trump because they wanted to see action on that front. They wanted to see him go back, push back, and fight back against these criminals. And we're excited that it's finally happening. I mean, so many Americans were tortured during the BLM riots itself that we haven't even done a deep dive into the financial backings of all these groups. We saw obviously Kamala Harris supporting the bail reform groups, these bail groups that would go out there and save these people and post their bail, and she backed it. But the reality is a lot of these individuals really aren't there for the actual movement, the protests. They're there because they're funded chaos. I mean, that's exactly what it is. They are funded to be
that's
there,
their
the financial
shaders.
Yeah, and most Americans don't realize that.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you go and try to talk to a lot of these people, they are told specifically not to talk to, especially to journalists, because every time they do, they make themselves, you know, very clear that they're stupid and have no idea what the hell they're there for, what they're protesting, or what they want out of it. So, it's obvious that it's either, you know, paid agitators, or it's people that just want to create chaos. You know, some people enjoy doing that. It's very rarely ever about the message, even though, you know, they'll sit there and hold those signs like Black Lives Matter and stuff, but Black Lives apparently don't really matter in places like Seattle. You should see the black-on-black crime rate in that mm-hmm. city. They don't talk about that part.
Yeah, because they don't want to talk about that part, because it ruins their narrative. Nick, you're doing incredible work, so we're thankful that you joined us today. And good luck. Good luck at that turning point. We are very lucky enough to have you on the show today. Nick Sorter, everyone. Thanks for joining the program.
Appreciate you, Brianna. Congrats on the show, by the way. You're doing a great job.
I'm just trying to keep up with you, my friend. I'm just trying to keep up with you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Folks, we are celebrating the one-year anniversary of the alexjonesstore.com. You got to head on over there right now, because it is the one-year fundraiser sale, and all of your favorite items are on sale right now, and it's only for this week. So if you haven't done so already, right, now's the time to stock up. We've got shirts, we've got hats, all right now, $25. And when you spend over $75, you're going to get a free $11 to use the store, and there's no promo code needed for that. Also, some of your favorite items are 50% off. Ultimate Burn, MK Ultra, Atomic Defense. Now it's 50% off all one-time orders of those. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Take a look around. There's a lot to stock up on. You're going to want to do that because, again, this is only lasting for this week only. And when you guys support thealexjonesstore.com, you're supporting our work. It's why we're able to sit up here, be independent, not take funding from any corrupt corporations. I always joke about that on my podcast because my podcast is self-funded and very few people do that. And it's only because of great people like you at home. So make sure you support thealexjonesstore.com. All right. Now, I don't know if you guys know, but President Donald Trump and his beautiful first lady are in the UK right now. And it's very interesting to sit back and watch because King Charles actually did a toast to both President Trump and the first lady. Take a look.
Therefore, as we celebrate this unparalleled partnership, allow me to propose a toast to President Trump and the First Lady and to the health, prosperity, and happiness of the people of the United States of America.
To see the president and the first lady standing there looking beautiful. Okay, so I just want to take a moment to appreciate Melania Trump because she is stunning, breathtaking. And I know probably for the InfoWars group, it's you guys aren't about fashion, but I am. When I was a kid, one of my first and most favorite books ever was a photo book my parents gave me, actually, of Princess Diana and all of her best looks. And so I carry that around. I loved it. I loved looking at it. It was one of my favorite ones. And so I came up with the idea of starting my own book. It's the Melania Trump Elegance Back in the White House book that we've just recently released. It's available right now on Amazon. It's a great addition for your coffee table as well as so much more. Head on over to Amazon to grab that book. All right, folks, a lot happening in the next few hours. The Alex Jones Store, I keep saying that, show starts now.
This is a little piece of art, a really nice memento, and when you order for $100 an InfoWars war bond, it gets mailed to you with a one-time promo code you use. So when I show these on air, whoever puts one of these in first gets $110. But when it comes in the mail, you can use it once for $110 in the store, and then it's a nice memento to know that you supported the operation in such a key, critical time. Alex Jones War Bond, $110. Redeem your $110 War Bond right now. Just enter the gift code below at checkout, and it will then pay for your purchase, and then you get to keep the War Bond to hang on the wall, a nice little memento. Get your Alex Jones War Bonds right now, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so $770 right here for whoever watching live puts in one of these codes first, you get $110 to spend in the store. But for everybody else, they also make great gifts. You can also watch the show at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a listen live area right there with the streams, thealexjonesstore.com. And even if the globals are successful at shutting down InfoWars, which they're not going to be, I believe, in a celebration of the Alex Jones Store officially being open for business for 1 year, we're launching the Light is Fire with its Beauty 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. For this week only, all shirts and hats are just $25, not $35. Plus, we're giving everyone a free $11 to spend on the store this week at checkout. And it doesn't stop there. All orders of Ultimate Burn, an incredible natural weight loss formula, are 50% off to celebrate the fire of liberty burning within the heart of every info warrior. Be the reason, as Chase Geyser says, we will always be on the air. And I humbly and respectfully thank you for all of your support.